coverage from ABC of the Union.
Each day we draw nearer the hour of maximum danger.
The illumination of 1,000 points of light.
Let's make it smaller, less costly, and smarter. Leaner, not meaner.
States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil.
Anyone who tells you that America is in decline or that our influence has waned doesn't know what they're talking about.
From ABC News headquarters, here is correspondent Aaron Katursky.
If his inaugural address was President Obama's vision, tonight the State of the Union is his battle plan. Good evening, American families tuning in now to watch President Obama send his message to the country. The State of the Union kickstarting his second term just 3 weeks after the majesty and the pageantry of the inauguration. The focus of this speech, we're told, fixing the economy. So let's get straight to ABC's Ann Compton. Ann.
This is the fifth time, Aaron, that he's actually arrived for this State of the Union-style report to the country, and this one defines that economic road to recovery. He will call it smarter government, not bigger government. He will lay out plans to encourage the creation of jobs. But, Aaron, this may well break down along the familiar political lines, big government versus government spending and cuts.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton with us for our live coverage of the State of the Union. The House chamber is filling up. Members of the president's cabinet walking in. ABC's Vic Ratner is there and joins us live. Good evening, Vic.
Good evening, Aaron. A jam-packed House chamber. Members of the House and Senate already here. Members of the cabinet. Supreme Court justices just walked into the chamber. Up to my left, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, nearly killed in a shooting in Arizona 2 years ago. She's here with her husband, former astronaut Mark Kelly. And down below to the right, an unusual combination, Democratic Senator Charles Schumer, Republican Senator John McCain, and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, all working together on immigration. They've decided to sit together tonight, Aaron.
ABC's Vic Ratner on the seating arrangements. Fascinating. Fixing the economy, creating jobs, immigration. Those have been the struggles of the president's presidency, and most of the speech, we're told, will be about those things. But there is an emphasis, an emotional emphasis, on gun control, and that has been unfolding all day in Washington and now inside the Capitol. ABC's Stephen Portnoy live with us tonight. Good evening, Stephen.
And to you, Aaron. The specter of gun violence and what to do about it literally hangs over this State of the Union address. Inside the House chamber, there are 45 victims or relatives of victims of gun violence seated in the House visitors gallery up above, watching what's going on below. And many of them are wearing green and white ribbons in solidarity with the victims at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Many members of Congress from both parties are wearing those green and white ribbons on their lapels. But also in the gallery tonight in the House chamber, Ted Nugent, the rock star, the noted opponent of gun controls, and I had a chance to speak with him today. He's in the chamber in a far corner, seated with people who are wearing those gold and white ribbons. Nugent is wearing a blazer, a brown blazer and jeans, and I spoke with him today in the office of the Texas congressman who invited him. He said he's here to, quote, counter the stacked deck. Nugent said that he sympathizes with the victims of gun violence. He says our hearts are broken every time there's a victim of violent crime in the country. But he says that new gun laws are not the answer. He says it's counterproductive. He calls it a scam. And he says gun control is what every murderer loves. So two contrasting messages. We heard today tearful testimony from the victims of gun violence, and also represented the other side of it is Ted Nugent in the gallery tonight, Aaron.
ABC Stephen Portnoy live in Washington as the House gallery continues to fill up. Michelle Obama taking her place in the box. ABC's Ann Compton, she has a number of notable guests with her tonight.
A lot of them are related to the gun violence issue, but there are a lot of others as well. Mrs. Obama has as her guest many people who have intersected with presidential policy. There's a wounded warrior. There is a woman military, enlisted woman, I believe, who trains women. Of course, the president just approved women in combat. You will see teachers. You will see parents. And the president is going to intersect with many of these same kind of individuals. When he leaves here tomorrow for 3 days in a row, he will go out on the road, take his message from tonight, and put it into action at a company that's come from foreign soil to build its auto parts here with American jobs. Another is a preschool to talk about young education. This is something that he now wants to put outside beyond the Beltway to the grassroots.
And you tell us the focus will be on the economy for the president, but there are a number of international developments, some beyond the president's control, that he's going to have to mention tonight.
One most notably, he called the president of South Korea today, both of them very upset that overnight North Korea exploded a nuclear test, one as large as one of the bombs the U.S. dropped on the Japanese. So this was a very serious moment. And the president tonight will call out North Korea for not only that test, but 2 months ago they tested a missile that could have hit U.S. soil, a very serious development. Also, he is going to announce today that a year from now, half of all the American combat troops on the ground in Afghanistan will be home, the beginning of the end of the American mission there.
ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton with us for the State of the Union. We are awaiting the president's arrival in the House chamber, which is filled to the brim. ABC's Vic Ratner there live, right where he should be. Vic.
And Aaron, the first and most pressing thing Congress has to deal with, massive spending cuts automatically set to take effect the 1st of March, which would do everything from cutting defense spending to cutting money to education. The president has asked Congress to come up with a plan which he calls balanced spending cuts and new revenues. Republicans say, uh-uh, Mr. President, you got your new revenues the first of the new year. We're not increasing taxes anymore. So expect to hear about spending cuts and what's called sequestration prominently in the president's speech, Aaron.
And then later, Vic, a Republican response from Marco Rubio.
Two Republican responses, in fact. Florida Senator Marco Rubio, rising star in the Republican Party, has been given the job of representing the Republican leadership in the response to the president, but representing splits in the GOP. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul will give a separate Tea Party response.
ABC's Vic Ratner with us live from the House chamber. Any moment now, the president due to walk in. You will hear the familiar refrain from the sergeant-at-arms of Mr. Speaker, and that will signal that the president is about to enter. Want to turn back to ABC's Stephen Portnoy for a moment, because the chamber is laden with emotion tonight. We've talked about some of the special guests tied to gun violence.
That's right, Aaron. Even if we don't expect President Obama to make a lot of new, tread a lot of new ground when it comes to his gun control proposals, he's spoken about them extensively over the course of the past month or so. Certainly in his inaugural address and in speeches since, he has pushed, and the vice president as well, have pushed for a number of new gun control measures. Democrats have begun to pursue them, entering bills. And in fact, on the Senate side, there is discussion on a bipartisan basis for legislation in regards to expanding background checks to close that so-called gun show loophole. But we do not expect President Obama to really hit much of that in his State of the Union address. That said, in the chamber tonight, it is probably the most visible topic that people are thinking about, certainly talking about. Up on Capitol Hill today, several dozen victims of gun violence stood in solidarity and tearfully urged Congress to act, do something, in the words of one woman who lost her daughter to an act of gun violence in Chicago just weeks ago. But also, of course, the other side is represented by Ted Nugent, who is appearing in the gallery. He is the rock star who has said that, he would vociferously oppose any kind of new gun laws. And I spoke with him today. He said, as one person calls on Congress to do something, he said, and this is a quote, "If your child is drowning, I could throw them a cinder block, and that would qualify as something, but it would be the wrong thing." And he says new gun laws are the wrong thing to do, Aaron.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy live in Washington on the night the president addresses Congress, delivering his State of the Union address just 3 weeks after the inauguration. ABC's Ann Compton is our White House correspondent, and the tone tonight is going to be similar or different than we've heard in the past from the president.
Similar, and here I believe the president, Aaron, is at the door.
Let's listen in to the sergeant at arms.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
There it is, the introduction of the president live to the House chamber, ABC's Vic Ratner.
Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving introduces the president, who walks confidently through the door and starts to shake hands and grab arms, working his way down the center aisle. Some of these House members have waited in seats along the center aisle, those special seats, for 6-8 hours. They staked them out this morning, and they've had to stay there ever since then. The president slowly working his way down the aisle, carrying his speech under his arm, being stopped by members of Congress who want a few words, a handshake, an opportunity to grip and grin. Above him in the spectators' galleries, prolonged applause. First Lady Michelle Obama and her guests on their feet, the whole spectators' galleries on their feet applauding as the president comes into this packed House chamber. Aaron.
ABC's Vic Ratner with us live from the House chamber as President Obama shakes hands, makes his way down the aisle toward the podium where he will deliver his State of the Union address. Back to our White House correspondent, ABC's Ann Compton. Ann.
He has a new chief speechwriter for this one, by the way, a young man by the name of Cody Keenan, who's been on the White House staff but is taking over now as the chief White House speechwriter. And he has done very sensitive speeches for the president before, including that most noteworthy sentimental remarks after the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords. So we'll see if the tone of tonight's different speech is any different. You had asked a moment ago about the tone tonight. I was told that the president wants to keep this on the same par as his other State of the Union addresses, and perhaps not quite as brusque and confrontational as many people felt his inaugural address was when he finally said to Congress, look, you've got to do your job. I think there is a sense of impatience in this president as he looks forward to the next 4 years and the prospect of continued gridlock on the things that he wants to do, including the economic agenda tonight, moving to the very issue that will divide them all, government versus cutting government.
ABC's Ann Compton with us live from the White House as the president continues to make his way down the aisle in the House chamber to the sustained applause of those in the room, including ABC's Vic Ratner. Vic.
Aaron, I was told by Republican leaders that they want to project an appearance of being ready and willing to work with the president if his ideas are reasonable. And you can expect, I was told in the Republican response, no ultimatums, no threats, no tough talk, much more of a let's work together on pragmatic solutions to the country's problems. One thing the Republicans will make a point of, no more new taxes.
ABC's Vic Ratner live in the House chamber where President Obama is shaking the hands of members of Congress, members of his cabinet that have gathered inside for this tradition. The President of the United States being warmly received, sustained applause. I want to turn quickly to our political analyst, Trey Hardin. Steve Roberts with us tonight. Steve, the president was certainly emboldened by his reelection. How much of that do you think comes across tonight?
Well, I think that a lot comes across tonight. Not only is he emboldened by his election, you look at our new ABC News poll, which came out just this afternoon. 52% of Americans have a favorable view of the president's policies. Only 36% have a similar favorable view of Republicans. That's a 16-point edge, and it's a tremendous advantage. And there are a lot of Democrats, including the president, who feel that in the first term, when they did reach out to Republicans, that their hand was brushed aside. One of the reasons why the president is going to take to the road right after this speech is to try to generate public opinion and public support for his policies. His view is you're only going to get the Republicans to move along and side with him if they feel the heat and feel the weight of public opinion. And he's going to do that before he negotiates, Aaron.
And as the president continues to make his way toward the dais, Trey Hardin, does the president, do you believe, really want to work with the Republicans? Do Republicans want to work with him?
Well, Aaron, Barack Obama is now beholden to no one politically. He doesn't have to worry about running for reelection or pleasing specific constituencies. The president has the same opportunity as Bill Clinton did in 1996 when he delivered his first State of the Union of his second term. Clinton took advantage and identified a few areas of likely compromise with Republicans to secure his place in history as a president who actually got things done in his town. So tonight, I think we will learn what this president cares about more, a legacy of accomplishment or a political victory.
Trey Harden, Steve Roberts with us all night for our live coverage of the State of the Union. I'm Aaron Katursky. President Obama has made his way to the dais, shaking hands with his Vice President Joe Biden and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. The president's speech in hand, now front and center inside the House chamber, waiting to deliver his State of the Union address. Waving now to the crowd, making special waves to his wife and the visitors that she has invited to sit with her for this speech. And now the gavel from the Speaker of the House.
Thank you. Do I give you a seat right
now? The president is handing copies of the speech, both to the Speaker and to the Vice President.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Thank you.
The formal introduction by Speaker of the House, John Boehner, as the crowd comes once again to its feet. Live to the House chamber, ABC's Vic Ratner. Vic.
A second standing ovation for the president. This one will be much shorter. The president urging people to sit down and get settled as he begins his State of the Union address. The spectators galleries above still standing and cheering. Aaron.
ABC's Vic Ratner live from the House chamber, where members of Congress continue their applause for the president. Maybe the best reception he gets all night.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, fellow Americans. 51 years ago, John F. Kennedy declared to this chamber that the Constitution makes us not rivals for power, but partners for progress. It is my task, he said, to report the State of the Union. To improve it is the task of us all. Tonight, thanks to the grit and determination of the American people, there is much progress to report. After a decade of grinding war, our brave men and women in uniform are coming home. After years of grueling recession, our businesses have created over 6 million new jobs. We buy more American cars than we have in 5 years, and less foreign oil than we have in 20. Our housing market is healing, our stock market is rebounding, and consumers, patients, and homeowners enjoy stronger protections than ever before. So, together, we have cleared away the rubble of crisis. And we can say with renewed confidence that the state of our union is stronger. But we gather here knowing that there are millions of Americans whose hard work and dedication have not yet been rewarded. Our economy is adding jobs, but too many people still can't find full-time employment. Corporate profits have skyrocketed to all-time highs, but for more than a decade, wages and incomes have barely budged. It is our generation's task, then, to reignite the true engine of America's economic growth, a rising, thriving middle class. It is our unfinished task to restore the basic bargain that built this country, the idea that if you work hard and meet your responsibilities, you can get ahead, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like or who you love. It is our unfinished task to make sure that this government works on behalf of the many and not just the few. that it encourages free enterprise, rewards individual initiative, and opens the doors of opportunity to every child across this great nation. The American people don't expect government to solve every problem. They don't expect those of us in this chamber to agree on every issue. But they do expect us to put the nation's interests before party. They do expect us to forge reasonable compromise where we can. For they know that America moves forward only when we do so together, and that the responsibility of improving this union remains the task of us all. Now, our work must begin by making some basic decisions about our budget, decisions that will have a huge impact on the strength of our recovery. Over the last few years, both parties have worked together to reduce the deficit by more than $2.5 trillion, mostly through spending cuts, but also by raising tax rates on the wealthiest 1% of Americans. As a result, we are more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction that economists say we need to stabilize our finances. Now we need to finish the job. And the question is, how? In 2011, Congress passed a law saying that if both parties couldn't agree on a plan to reach our deficit goal, about $1 trillion worth of budget cuts would automatically go into effect this year. These sudden, harsh, arbitrary cuts would jeopardize our military readiness. They'd devastate priorities like education and energy and medical research. They would certainly slow our recovery and cost us hundreds of thousands of jobs. And that's why Democrats, Republicans, business leaders, and economists have already said that these cuts, known here in Washington as the sequester, are a really bad idea. Now, some in Congress have proposed preventing only the defense cuts by making even bigger cuts to things like education and job training, Medicare, and Social Security benefits. That idea is even worse. Yes, the biggest driver of our long-term debt is the rising cost of health care for an aging population. And those of us who care deeply about programs like Medicare must embrace the need for modest reforms. Otherwise, our retirement programs will crowd out the investments we need for our children and jeopardize the promise of a secure retirement for future generations. But we can't ask senior citizens and working families to shoulder the entire burden of deficit reduction while asking nothing more from the wealthiest and the most powerful. We won't grow the middle class simply by shifting the cost of health care or college onto families that are already struggling, or by forcing communities to lay off more teachers and more cops and more firefighters. Most Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, understand that we can't just cut our way to prosperity. They know that broad-based economic growth requires a balanced approach to deficit reduction, with spending cuts and revenue, and with everybody doing their fair share. And that's the approach I offer tonight. On Medicare, I'm prepared to enact reforms that will achieve the same amount of health care savings by the beginning of the next decade as the reforms proposed by the bipartisan Simpson-Bowles Commission. Already, the Affordable Care Act is helping to slow the growth of health care costs. And the reforms I'm proposing go even further. We'll reduce taxpayer subsidies to prescription drug companies and ask more from the wealthiest seniors. We'll bring down costs by changing the way our government pays for Medicare, because our medical bills shouldn't be based on the number of tests ordered or days spent in the hospital. They should be based on the quality of care that our seniors receive. And I am open to additional reforms from both parties, so long as they don't violate the guarantee of a secure retirement. Our government shouldn't make promises we cannot keep, but we must keep the promises we've already made. To hit the rest of our deficit reduction target, we should do what leaders in both parties have already suggested and save hundreds of billions of dollars by getting rid of tax loopholes and deductions for the well-off and the well-connected. After all, why would we choose to make deeper cuts to education and Medicare just to protect special interest tax breaks? How is that fair? Why is the deficit reduction is a big emergency, justifying making cuts in Social Security benefits but not closing some loopholes? How does that promote growth? Now is our best chance for bipartisan, comprehensive tax reform that encourages job creation and helps bring down the deficit. We can get this done. The American people deserve a tax code that helps small businesses spend less time filling out complicated forms and more time expanding and hiring. A tax code that ensures billionaires with high-powered accountants can't work the system and pay a lower rate than their hard-working secretaries. A tax code that lowers incentives to move jobs overseas and lowers tax rates for businesses and manufacturers that are creating jobs right here in the United States of America. That's what tax reform can deliver. That's what we can do together. I realize that tax reform and entitlement reform will not be easy. The politics will be hard for both sides. None of us will get 100% of what we want. But the alternative will cost us jobs, hurt our economy, visit hardship on millions of hard-working Americans. So let's set party interests aside and work to pass a budget that replaces reckless cuts with smart savings and wise investments in our future. And let's do it without the brinksmanship that stresses consumers and scares off investors. The greatest nation on earth cannot keep conducting its business by drifting from one manufactured crisis to the next. We can't do it. Let's agree right here, right now, to keep the people's government open and pay our bills on time and always uphold the full faith and credit of the United States of America. The American people have worked too hard for too long, rebuilding from one crisis, to see their elected officials cause another. Now, most of us agree that a plan to reduce the deficit must be part of our agenda. But let's be clear. Deficit reduction alone is not an economic plan. A growing economy that creates good middle-class jobs, that must be the North Star that guides our efforts. Every day, we should ask ourselves three questions as a nation. How do we attract more jobs to our shores? How do we equip our people with the skills they need to get those jobs? And how do we make sure that hard work leads to a decent living? Now, a year and a half ago, I put forward an American Jobs Act that independent economists said would create more than 1 million new jobs. And I thank the last Congress for passing some of that agenda. I urge this Congress to pass the rest. But tonight I'll lay out additional proposals that are fully paid for and fully consistent with the budget framework both parties agreed to just 18 months ago. Let me repeat. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime. It is not a bigger government we need, but a smarter government that sets priorities and invests in broad-based growth. That's what we should be looking for. Our first priority is making America a magnet for new jobs in manufacturing. After shedding jobs for more than 10 years, our manufacturers have added about 500,000 jobs over the past three. Caterpillar is bringing jobs back from Japan. Ford is bringing jobs back from Mexico. And this year, Apple will start making Macs in America again. There are things we can do right now to accelerate this trend. Last year, we created our first Manufacturing Innovation Institute in Youngstown, Ohio. A once-shuttered warehouse is now a state-of-the-art lab where new workers are mastering the 3D printing that has the potential to revolutionize the way we make almost everything. There's no reason this can't happen in other towns. So tonight, I'm announcing the launch of three more of these manufacturing hubs, where businesses will partner with the Department of Defense and energy to turn regions left behind by globalization into global centers of high-tech jobs. And I ask this Congress to help create a network of 15 of these hubs and guarantee that the next revolution in manufacturing is made right here in America. We can get that done. Now, if we want to make the best products, we also have to invest in the best ideas. Every dollar we invested to map the human genome returned $140 to our economy. Every dollar. Today, our scientists are mapping the human brain to unlock the answers to Alzheimer's. They're developing drugs to regenerate damaged organs, devising new materials to make batteries 10 times more powerful. Now is not the time to gut these job-creating investments in science and innovation. Now is the time to reach a level of research and development not seen since the height of the space race. We need to make those investments. Today, no area holds more promise than our investments in American energy. After years of talking about it, we're finally poised to control our own energy future. We produce more oil at home than we have in 15 years. We have doubled the distance our cars will go on a gallon of gas and the amount of renewable energy we generate from sources like wind and solar, with tens of thousands of good American jobs to show for it. We produce more natural gas than ever before. And nearly everyone's energy bill is lower because of it. And over the last 4 years, our emissions of the dangerous carbon pollution that threatens our planet have actually fallen. But for the sake of our children and our future, we must do more to combat climate change. Now, it's true that no single event makes a trend. But the fact is, the 12 hottest years on record have all come in the last 15. Heat waves, droughts, wildfires, floods, all are now more frequent and more intense. We can choose to believe that Superstorm Sandy and the most severe drought in decades and the worst wildfires some states have ever seen were all just a freak coincidence. Or we can choose to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science and act before it's too late. Now, the good news is we can make meaningful progress on this issue while driving strong economic growth. I urge this Congress to get together, pursue a bipartisan market-based solution to climate change, like the one John McCain and Joe Lieberman worked on together a few years ago. But if Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will. I will direct my cabinet to come up with executive actions we can take now and in the future to reduce pollution, prepare our communities for the consequences of climate change, and speed the transition to more sustainable sources of energy. And 4 years ago, other countries dominated the clean energy market and the jobs that came with it. And we've begun to change that. Last year, wind energy added nearly half of all new power capacity in America. So let's generate even more. Solar energy gets cheaper by the year. Let's drive down costs even further. As long as countries like China keep going all in on clean energy, so must we. Now, in the meantime, the natural gas boom has led to cleaner power and greater energy independence. We need to encourage that. And that's why my administration will keep cutting red tape and speeding up new oil and gas permits. That's got to be part of an all-of-the-above plan. But I also want to work with this Congress to encourage the research and technology that helps natural gas burn even cleaner and protects our air and our water. In fact, much of our newfound energy is drawn from lands and waters that we, the public, own together. So tonight I propose we use some of our oil and gas revenues to fund an energy security trust that will drive new research and technology to shift our cars and trucks off oil for good. If a nonpartisan coalition of CEOs and retired generals and admirals can get behind this idea, then so can we. Let's take their advice and free our families and businesses from the painful spikes in gas prices we put up with for far too long. I'm also issuing a new goal for America. Let's cut in half the energy wasted by our homes and businesses over the next 20 years. We'll work with the states to do it. Those states with the best ideas to create jobs and lower energy bills by constructing more efficient buildings will receive federal support to help make that happen. America's energy sector is just one part of an aging infrastructure badly in need of repair. Ask any CEO where they'd rather locate and hire: a country with deteriorating roads and bridges, or one with high-speed rail and internet, high-tech schools, self-healing power grids. The CEO of Siemens America, a company that brought hundreds of new jobs to North Carolina, said that if we upgrade our infrastructure, they'll bring even more jobs. And that's the attitude of a lot of companies all around the world. And I know you want these job-creating projects in your district. I've seen all those ribbon cuttings. So, tonight, I propose a fix-it-first program to put people to work as soon as possible on our most urgent repairs, like the nearly 70,000 structurally deficient bridges across the country. And to make sure taxpayers don't shoulder the whole burden, I'm also proposing a partnership to rebuild America that attracts private capital to upgrade what our businesses need most: modern ports to move our goods, modern pipelines to withstand a storm, modern schools worthy of our children. Let's prove there's no better place to do business than here in the United States of America, and let's start right away. We can get this done. And part of our rebuilding effort must also involve our housing sector. The good news is our housing market is finally healing from the collapse of 2007. Home prices are rising at the fastest pace in 6 years. Home purchases are up nearly 50%, and construction is expanding again. But even with mortgage rates near a 50-year low, too many families with solid credit who want to buy a home are being rejected. Too many families who never missed a payment and want to refinance are being told no. That's holding our entire economy back. We need to fix it. Right now, there's a bill in this Congress that would give every responsible homeowner in America the chance to save $3,000 a year by refinancing at today's rates. Democrats and Republicans have supported it before. So what are we waiting for? Take a vote and send me that bill. Why would we be against that? Why would that be a partisan issue? Helping folks refinance. Right now, overlapping regulations keep responsible young families from buying their first home. What's holding us back? Let's streamline the process and help our economy grow. Now, these initiatives in manufacturing, energy, infrastructure, housing, all these things will help entrepreneurs and small business owners expand and create new jobs. But none of it will matter unless we also equip our citizens with the skills and training to fill those jobs. And that has to start at the earliest possible age. You know, study after study shows that the sooner a child begins learning, the better he or she does down the road. But today, fewer than 3 in 10 four-year-olds are enrolled in a high-quality preschool program. Most middle-class parents can't afford a few hundred bucks a week for a private preschool. And for poor kids who need help the most, this lack of access to preschool education can shadow them for the rest of their lives. So tonight, I propose working with states to make high-quality preschool available to every single child in America. That's something we should be able to do. Every dollar we invest in high-quality early childhood education can save more than $7 later on by boosting graduation rates, reducing teen pregnancy, even reducing violent crime. In states that make it a priority to educate our youngest children, like Georgia or Oklahoma, studies show students grow up more likely to read and do math at grade level, graduate high school, hold a job, form more stable families of their own. We know this works. So let's do what works and make sure none of our children start the race of life already behind. Let's give our kids that chance. Let's also make sure that a high school diploma puts our kids on a path to a good job. Right now, countries like Germany focus on graduating their high school students with the equivalent of a technical degree from one of our community colleges. So those German kids, they're ready for a job when they graduate high school. They've been trained for the jobs that are there. Now at schools like PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools and City University of New York and IBM, students will graduate with a high school diploma and an associate's degree in computers or engineering. We need to give every American student opportunities like this. And 4 years ago, we started Race to the Top, a competition that convinced almost every state to develop smarter curricula and higher standards. all for about 1% of what we spend on education each year. Tonight, I'm announcing a new challenge to redesign America's high schools so they better equip graduates for the demands of a high-tech economy. And we'll reward schools that develop new partnerships with colleges and employers and create classes that focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, the skills today's employers are looking for to fill the jobs that are there right now and will be there in the future. Now, even with better high schools, most young people will need some higher education. It's a simple fact. The more education you've got, the more likely you are to have a good job and work your way into the middle class. But today, skyrocketing costs price too many young people out of a higher education or saddle them with unsustainable debt. Through tax credits, grants, and better loans, we've made college more affordable for millions of students and families over the last few years. But taxpayers can't keep on subsidizing higher and higher and higher costs for higher education. Colleges must do their part to keep costs down, and it's our job to make sure that they do. So tonight, I ask Congress to change the Higher Education Act so that affordability and value are included in determining which colleges receive certain types of federal aid. And tomorrow, my administration will release a new college scorecard that parents and students can use to compare schools based on a simple criteria: where you can get the most bang for your educational buck. Now, to grow our middle class, our citizens have to have access to the education and training that today's jobs require. But we also have to make sure that America remains a place where everyone who's willing to work, everybody who's willing to work hard, has the chance to get ahead. Our economy is stronger when we harness the talents and ingenuity of striving, hopeful immigrants. And right now, leaders from the business, labor, law enforcement, faith communities, they all agree that the time has come to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to get it done. Now's the time to get it done. Real reform means stronger border security, and we can build on the progress my administration's already made, putting more boots on the southern border than at any time in our history, and reducing illegal crossings to their lowest levels in 40 years. Real reform means establishing a responsible pathway to earned citizenship, a path that includes passing a background check, paying taxes and a meaningful penalty, learning English, and going to the back of the line behind the folks trying to come here legally. And real reform means fixing the legal immigration system to cut waiting periods and attract the highly skilled entrepreneurs and engineers that will help create jobs and grow our economy. In other words, we know what needs to be done. And as we speak, bipartisan groups in both chambers are working diligently to draft a bill, and I applaud their efforts. So let's get this done. Send me a comprehensive immigration reform bill in the next few months, and I will sign it right away, and America will be better for it. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. But we can't stop there. We know our economy is stronger when our wives, our mothers, our daughters can live their lives free from discrimination in the workplace and free from the fear of domestic violence. Today, the Senate passed the Violence Against Women's Act that Joe Biden originally wrote almost 20 years ago, and I now urge the House to do the same. Good job, Joe. And I ask this Congress to declare that women should earn a living equal to their efforts. And finally pass the Paycheck Fairness Act this year. We know our economy is stronger when we reward an honest day's work with honest wages. But today, a full-time worker making the minimum wage earns $14,500 a year. Even with the tax relief we put in place, a family with two kids that earns the minimum wage still lives below the poverty line. That's wrong. That's why, since the last time this Congress raised the minimum wage, 19 states have chosen to bump theirs even higher. Tonight, let's declare that in the wealthiest nation on earth, no one who works full-time should have to live in poverty, and raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour. We should be able to get that done. This single step would raise the incomes of millions of working families. It could mean the difference between groceries or the food bank, rent or eviction, scraping by or finally getting ahead. For businesses across the country, it would mean customers with more money in their pockets. And a whole lot of folks out there would probably need less help from government. In fact, working folks shouldn't have to wait year after year for the minimum wage to go up, while CEO pay has never been higher. So here's an idea that Governor Romney and I actually agreed on last year. Let's tie the minimum wage to the cost of living so that it finally becomes a wage you can live on. Tonight, let's also recognize that there are communities in this country where, no matter how hard you work, it is virtually impossible to get ahead. Factory towns decimated from years of plants packing up, inescapable pockets of poverty, urban and rural, where young adults are still fighting for their first job. America is not a place where the chance of birth or circumstance should decide our destiny. And that's why we need to build new ladders of opportunity into the middle class for all who are willing to climb them. Let's offer incentives to companies that hire Americans who've got what it takes to fill that job opening but have been out of work so long that no one will give them a chance anymore. Let's put people back to work rebuilding vacant homes and rundown neighborhoods. And this year, my administration will begin to partner with 20 of the hardest hit towns in America to get these communities back on their feet. Now, we'll work with local leaders to target resources at public safety and education and housing. We'll give new tax credits to businesses that hire and invest. And we'll work to strengthen families by removing the financial deterrence to marriage for low-income couples and do more to encourage fatherhood. Because what makes you a man isn't the ability to conceive a child, it's having the courage to raise one. And we want to encourage that. We want to help that. Stronger families, stronger communities, a stronger America. It is this kind of prosperity, broad, shared, built on a thriving middle class, that has always been the source of our progress at home. It's also the foundation of our power and influence throughout the world. Tonight, we stand united in saluting the troops and civilians who sacrifice every day to protect us. Because of them, we can say with confidence that America will complete its mission in Afghanistan and achieve our objective of defeating the core of Al-Qaeda. Already, we have brought home 33,000 of our brave servicemen and women. This spring, our forces will move into a support role, while Afghan security forces take the lead. Tonight, I can announce that over the next year, another 34,000 American troops will come home from Afghanistan. This drawdown will continue, and by the end of next year, our war in Afghanistan will be over. Beyond 2014, America's commitment to a unified and sovereign Afghanistan will endure. But the nature of our commitment will change. We're negotiating an agreement with the Afghan government that focuses on two missions: training and equipping Afghan forces so that the country does not again slip into chaos, and counterterrorism efforts that allow us to pursue the remnants of al-Qaeda and their affiliates. Today, the organization that attacked us on 9/11 is a shadow of its former self. It's true, different al-Qaeda affiliates and extremist groups have emerged from the Arabian Peninsula to Africa. The threat these groups pose is evolving. But to meet this threat, we don't need to send tens of thousands of our sons and daughters abroad or occupy other nations. Instead, we'll need to help countries like Yemen, Libya, and Somalia provide for their own security and help allies who take the fight to terrorists, as we have in Mali. And where necessary, through a range of capabilities, we will continue to take direct action against those terrorists who pose the gravest threat to Americans. Now, as we do, we must enlist our values in the fight. That's why my administration has worked tirelessly to forge a durable legal and policy framework to guide our counterterrorism efforts. Throughout, we have kept Congress fully informed of our efforts. And I recognize that in our democracy, no one should just take my word for it that we're doing things the right way. So in the months ahead, I will continue to engage Congress to ensure not only that our targeting, detention, and prosecution of terrorists remains consistent with our laws and system of checks and balances, but that our efforts are even more transparent to the American people and to the world. Of course, our challenges don't end with al-Qaeda. America will continue to lead the effort to prevent the spread of the world's most dangerous weapons. The regime in North Korea must know they will only achieve security and prosperity by meeting their international obligations. Provocations of the sort we saw last night will only further isolate them. As we stand by our allies, strengthen our own missile defense, and lead the world in taking firm action in response to these threats. Likewise, the leaders of Iran must recognize that now's the time for a diplomatic solution, because a coalition stands united in demanding that they meet their obligations, and we will do what is necessary to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon. At the same time, we'll engage Russia to seek further reductions in our nuclear arsenals and continue leading the global effort to secure nuclear materials that could fall into the wrong hands. Because our ability to influence others depends on our willingness to lead and meet our obligations. America must also face the rapidly growing threat from cyber attacks. Now, we know hackers steal people's identities and infiltrate private emails. We know foreign countries and companies swipe our corporate secrets. Now our enemies are also seeking the ability to sabotage our power grid, our financial institutions, our air traffic control systems. We cannot look back years from now and wonder why we did nothing in the face of real threats to our security and our economy. And that's why earlier today, I signed a new executive order that will strengthen our cyber defenses by increasing information sharing and developing standards to protect our national security, our jobs, and our privacy.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Thank God that the President of the United States is through talking for the moment, and he's writing autographs like a baseball player. I never saw anything like this guy. He's walking down an aisle, writing autographs. I don't know about you, but I don't feel, this is like another country I'm watching. Do you feel they represent you? Do they look like your representatives? It's the Savage Nation, by the way. We have a couple of open lines specifically for KSFO in San Francisco, who's been locked out through a preemption. They had to listen to the president, not to Michael Savage's commentary. So the show is apparently being broadcast now in this market. If you're in my loyal backyard here of San Francisco, you're going to be given priority to get up on the show at 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. And everyone who gets on the show gets a free copy of my novel published today, A Time for War. As you know, the news just broke minutes ago. He's dead. Dorner is dead. He shot himself and he's dead. Thank God he's gone. But there's a lot more to this story that needs to be talked about. In fact, if you go to my website, Dorner's remains apparently recovered from burned out cabin following deadly standoff. You know, on one hand, I would like to have seen him put on trial. On the other hand, I would not like to have watched the liberal lawyers arguing that he was a victim of racism. I would have gone insane altogether. And that's why the article, Savage says the CNN anchor embodies the devil in the media. It's up on michaelsavage.com. Sympathy for the cop killer shows the madness of the world we're living in. They all have sympathy for this guy. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. And I'm still the only website that has pictures of his first two victims, an African-American male and an Asian African-American woman, shot in cold blood by this maniac who CNN had sympathy for. But they weren't the only ones. No, Fox had sympathy as well. I heard it. I'm not deaf. He's still signing autographs. I can't believe it. It's going to be like baseball cards soon. Where do they go? What, don't they ever stop? I am so glad I was never in politics. I've been tempted along the way. But unlike Wahlberger and others, I mean, I wouldn't even mention it. Never. 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 I couldn't do that job. I'm too blunt. I wouldn't even know how to give a speech that wouldn't offend 90% of the 50%. Every time I give a speech, 855-407-2822, across America, you're entitled to call. You get a free book. You talk to me. If KSFO now is finally able to listen. North Korea has a test, three tests, miniaturized nuclear weapon, and you're concerned about whose dress broke at the Grammys. North Korea orders their troops to prepare for combat. Obama wants to reduce our nuclear arsenal. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense to you to reduce our nuclear arsenal while North Korea is setting them off like firecrackers? China is encouraging them to do this. China's building its nuclear arsenal. China's building its military. Savage envisions China threaten a time for war. Do me a favor. Do me one favor. It's very important you do this for me. It costs nothing. Go to the Drudge Report. On the left column, it says Savage envisions China threat in time for war. I want you to click it, and I want you to print the article, and I want you to give it to one person tomorrow. Bring it to work. Give it to someone at work. That's all. Don't buy a book. In fact, I don't want you to buy a book. I want you to only to pass the article around. How's that? Don't buy this book. Just pass the article around for free. Be a new American. Buy nothing. Just buy heart attack food. Second spokesman for Heart Attack Grill dies of heart attack. Isn't that amazing? The Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas. Two of them had an HA and died. They were serving garbage, poison. The second unofficial spokesman for the Heart Attack Grill in downtown Las Vegas has died from an apparent heart attack. John Alleman, may God rest his soul, suffered a heart attack last week as he waited at the bus stop in front of the restaurant located inside the Neonopolis at Fremont. He was 52. He lived a full life, said Basso, restaurant owner Basso, who will be missed. Blah, 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 blah. Fun-loving meal of the Heart Attack Grill. The medically-themed restaurant is famous for its high-calorie menu that includes a record-breaking, 9,900-calorie, 3-pound quadruple bypass burger. Very funny. Very funny. I think half the talk show hosts in America must eat there daily. Who would eat that poison? Who eats food like that unless they're insane? Who would eat food like this? Two of them dropped dead. Eating a triple bypass burger, one died on February 12th. 2 months later, a woman suffered from a similar medical problem while reported eating a double bypass burger. All right, it's not a laughing matter. My father died of a heart attack. My grandfather died of a heart attack. My great-grandfather died of a heart attack. So don't accuse me of being insensitive. I have the heart attack. They'll come after me now with wheelchairs. Like, I don't have enough nightmares. Last night, as I was talking about Dorner, the whole show, I expected him to break the door in any minute in full body armor and come in blasting away. Luckily, I had my home defense weapons ready. And I figured, look, if he comes and aim for his head, that's all. What can you do? I swear to God, I mean, that's how paranoid I was getting last night. Now I expect thousands of wheelchairs to show up at my door saying I'm insensitive to heart attack victims.
Savage.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Julian with Safe Light Auto Glass.
When you have auto glass damage, it makes a big difference who you choose to fix it. Only Safe Light, America's largest, gives you the reliability of always being there. With our 24/7 live call center, online scheduling, even a mobile app. And SafeLight emails a photo of the technician before we arrive, so you know who to expect.
Just ask your insurance company for SafeLight or call 800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Good evening, I'm Dave Fowkes, Shot Talk 560 KSFO. Multiple agencies are reporting that a body has been recovered in a burned cabin where Christopher Dorner is believed to have been holed up during a standoff with law enforcement this afternoon. One source tells the Associated Press that a single gunshot apparently fired inside the cabin was heard just before the fire broke out. During today's chase of the alleged cop killer, one San Bernardino sheriff's deputy was shot and killed, another wounded, but is expected to survive. Governor Jerry Brown's press secretary, Gil Duran, reportedly is leaving the administration. The governor making that announcement today. Taking a look at the roadways, have a new accident being reported. Actually, it's a stall upper deck of the Bay Bridge right about Treasure Island. Right lane, actually second lane from the right, is reportedly blocked. Still big delays on the peninsula northbound 101. Earlier problems up by Rangsdorf. Traffic is backed up to 237. 237 slow trying to get to 101. I'm Dave Fowkes, KSFO.
I used to pay exterminators to spray my house with toxic chemicals every month. When Chloe was born, I knew there just had to be a better way.
There is. Call 1-800-7-ORANGE for Planet Orange. That's right, Planet Orange, America's leader in orange oil termite treatment. Also offers revolutionary methods of pest control. This is the season when ants, spiders, other bugs, and rodents are trying to get into your home. So call 1-800-7-ORANGE now. Planet Orange will customize a pest control program for your family using botanical solutions to common pest problems with free service calls between treatments if needed and peace of mind at no extra charge. And all that's left behind is the fresh smell of mint.
Mark, our Planet Orange pest expert, checks in with us every time they come out to treat the property. He's really a tenant.
Call 1-800-7-ORANGE or go to planetorange.com to schedule a free pest inspection today. That's 1-800-767-2643.
Planet Orange. Orange, you glad you called?
Ever had your bank issue you a new debit, ATM, or credit card, but you didn't request one? That's probably because someone hacked the bank's computer system, and your bank is trying to stay one step ahead of the identity thieves who snatched your personal information. And that's why you need to call LifeLock now. When you call LifeLock, you can get the most comprehensive identity theft protection available. LifeLock Ultimate. LifeLock Ultimate offers 24/7 protection and is the only identity theft protection service that now monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. So call 1-800-978-9766 now. Mention Enroll 60 and get the first 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. Call 1-800-978-9766. 1-800-978-9766. Check LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary. 1-800- 1-800-978-9766.
When you want to know what the best product is, you ask an expert. So if you want to know why the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is the best for you and your family, just ask doctors and nurses why they use it at work and at home, and they'll tell you. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer gives a fast, accurate reading with just a gentle forehead scan and is backed by more than 40 published medical studies. Those all add up to peace of mind that your family is using the best and a great value for the money. Get yours today at Babies R Us, Toys R Us, and other fine retailers.
Hi, Joe Putnam here at my huge GM pre-owned car and truck center here in Burlingame. We just finished remodeling, so I'm having a grand opening sale. Check our special internet pricing at PutnamGM.com. That's PutnamGM.com.
I'm on the go, and wherever I go, home goes with me. It's a little app called iHeartRadio. My favorite station's on here, and I keep up with the news and sports from the personalities I love.
Download the free app. Over 1,500 local stations ready to play. iHeartRadio.com.
On the next morning show, the real State of the Union, the winner of the Vegas contest and Whistleblower Wednesday. Join me, Brian Sussman, Melanie, and Katie.
Welcome
5
back
to 9 a.m.
That was amazing. I had to put up with that for, I couldn't take it, an hour and 17 minutes of hell. Look, I felt the same way when Bush gave his speeches. I couldn't stand it. You know why? Can't they just give a speech without the clapping and the idiocy? Just give us the speech, let us digest it, goodbye, we're not stupid. Now I got to put up with Rubio. Now he's up there. They taught him how to use his hands. This is absurd. Now Rubio's giving the Republican counterpoint. I liked Rubio. He's green. He's not ready for prime time. But already they turned him into a presidential material. Now already he's using his hands like a corporate spokesman. You know, I am of a background, Mediterranean background, where I grew up with everyone use their hands. So many hands were flying around in my house, in my relatives' houses. You couldn't keep up with them. It was like Al Jolson's hands were flying around wherever I went. All I needed was white gloves. They could have had like a marionette show. So I'm used to using my hands. I'm a gesticulator. As I talk on the radio, I'm moving my hands. Would you believe it? So how I talk. But I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at Rubio. All the hand signals that he's using are false. They were taught by a coach, an idiot from the Midwest that doesn't even know how Mediterranean hands are supposed to work. Rubio is of Hispanic descent. He's of Cuban descent. They use their hands when they talk. The way he's using his hands, he looks like he's a tire salesman from Duluth. These are not the hands of a normal Rubio. There's like someone else's hands there in front of him, gesticulating, then the other hand. I'm an observer of these things. Which part of Obama's speech did you find the most offensive, if you care to talk about that on the Savage Nation? Kind of a standard question. I didn't listen to it all. I couldn't take it. 855-407-282. Everyone who gets on the air gets a free copy of my novel published today called The Time for War. Don't buy the book. Go to the Drudge Report. And look at the article on the left column where Savage envisions China threat in a time for war. Print the article and just read the article. Do not buy the book. I do not want you to buy the book. I want you only to print the article and give it to a friend. What is this heart attack grill? Who would eat in a place like that? And by the way, is it funny? Is it funny to call a place a heart attack grill? Would a liquor store, what if there was a liquor chain who took a raging alcoholic out of rehab and use them as a spokesperson? What if they got someone with lung cancer to wheel out and cough and say that they're a spokesman for the tobacco company? What should they call a liquor store chain? Cirrhosis Corner? Or a cigarette shop, shall I name it, for a cancer product? This is insane, the country we're living in. KSFO, Veronica, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm just calling because I got locked out. When I turn on my radio, I normally listen to you, and I was just so frustrated having to listen to what this man.
I was frustrated as well. That's right. I did not make that decision, and I apologize for having been preempted. I had no control over it.
Yeah, I'm a woman. I'm an engineer. I just graduated, and I did my taxes already. I owe money, and I'm waiting for him to say something that affects my life. I'm waiting for him to say something that, you know, affects what's going on in my world. You know, probably the most offensive thing he said was, I don't appreciate using, you know, the children, the girl that died in Chicago. I don't appreciate him taking those children's lives and turning it into something political. You know, it's just, it's just beyond. We're so
I hear you. No, but all politicians do that. He's not, you know, the only one doing that. Veronica, you're an engineer, and there are no jobs in engineering right now? Is that what I'm hearing after all those years of labor?
I'm in the Silicon Valley. There are jobs here in the Silicon Valley. I had a job 2 months before I graduated.
Okay, so what is it that's what is it that's bothering you then? You're doing well.
I'm doing well. What's frustrating me is someone who is doing well, it seems like we're being punished.
Oh, you are. You are the enemy of Obamanomics. You are the antithesis of everything he believes in. Look, I have said this, and it's not for fun. I wrote it in Trickle-Down Tyranny. I wrote it in Trickle-Up Poverty. I know Obama's background. If you spend a minute studying him, he's a soft Marxist and a hard crony capitalist. There's nothing new about him. You can predict what he's going to do every time he speaks. The man is stuck in the 1960s. Nothing that he does is unusual. You can predict what he's going to do. Everything this man is trying to do has been tried before in Eastern Europe before the wall collapsed, and it failed there. Only, apparently, it didn't make it to his Alinsky circle. So, yes, you are the target of Obama's wrath. That's correct. You're not an example of everything good about America. You're an example of greed.
Right, because I tried to do something for myself to better myself.
Well, that's right. You didn't help. Did you help illegal aliens along the way? Did you take illegal aliens into your home and give them a bedroom while you were selfishly studying engineering? You didn't have to study engineering just to get
That's
ahead
right.
like a greedy capitalist. You could have bought an illegal alien a new car.
Right.
I'm sending you a free copy of my novel, A Time for War. Bring it to work at Silicon Valley and be sure to be fired the next day. I mean, they do so much business with China, they're not going to want to see a novel that intimates in any way that their investors might have, let us say, nefarious ideas for them. A Time for War. So look at that. The guy Donner's getting. Don't forget him tomorrow, Donner. Like never happened. That's yesterday's news already. Pope resigns. Forgotten. North Korea sets off the fireworks. Forgotten. It's unbelievable. Hegel endorsed today. They don't even know who Hegel is. Despite his ties to Iran, despite his non-disclosure of financial compensation, he was approved today by the Democrats on the corrupt panel. Now it's going to come up for a Senate vote. Yeah, time has come for a committee to act on this nomination, said Levin. You know who Levin is, don't you? Carl Levin is the guy whose glasses are on the end of his nose. He's known to be a slumlord in his home district. But he acts like he's clean as the driven snow. Oh, my God, it's awful. It's like Ukraine. I feel like I'm watching the Ukrainian parliament every time I see it. Where are they going now? I can imagine them. As he walks down the aisle after this State of the Union speech, what he's whispering to them, the stuff you can't hear, what I would give to hear. Yeah, don't worry, the contract's on. Yeah, thank you very much. Don't worry about it. The contract's on the way. That's solar. Yeah, the solar company. Right, the brother-in-law, $800 million. It's on the way. Help is on the way. WDBO in Florida. Al, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just be a little bit sassy tonight. I would never expect that from your show, but I wanted to say I think the whole presidential speech tonight was very much a reflection that it's Mardi Gras, and that's a celebration of everything that's decadent and immoral, time of celebrating everything that, you know, we think that we are, illusions and delusions, and I couldn't stand watching the...
Well, what was he celebrating? You mean he was taking everything, everyone who was a victim and a loser, he was putting them on a pedestal. Everyone who was a worker and a success by all American standards, he sort of reviled.
He does, and it's...
But that's because he is a product of the 1960s. He is a brainwashed president. He cannot even learn by his own mistakes. That's the danger here, Al. He is not saying, you know, maybe I made a mistake, maybe I was mistaken. The man is doubling down on his soft Marxism and hard crony capitalism. That's what we saw tonight, I think. I really
do. Very scary.
Al, I'm sending you A Time for War. Stay on the line. It'll go out tomorrow. How about North Korea tests a nuke and Obama wants to cut our nuclear arsenal? Does that worry you? Does that worry you? Why would he want to cut our nuclear arsenal by a third while China is building theirs, North Korea is setting them off like fireworks, Iran is racing to build nuclear weapons, and he wants to cut them? Okay, let's turn it around. Let's turn it around. Many of you have been deprived of Savage tonight for 77 minutes, and you feel like you were cheated. And I appreciate that loyalty. You were cheated by the propaganda machine, by the Politburo machine, and the he's still talking. Could you play me Rubio, guys? Can you get a Rubio feed by the same means? I would like... Apart. That's him?
Tonight, all across this land...
He's too soft.
Parents will hold their newborn children in their arms for the first time.
Oh, come on.
For many of these parents, life has not gone the way they had planned.
I'll turn it off. That's maybe enough. They were born. See, this is like talk radio. Let me explain how talk radio works. Back in the day when you could still get a job in talk radio, when program directors were still listening to tapes, and they told me that they listened to they got hundreds of tapes a week. They would listen to the first 7 seconds. If the first 7 seconds didn't grip them, they threw the tape in the garbage can, and that person never became a talk show host. I compelled them within 3 seconds to hire me. So now let's listen to Rubio, and you judge for yourself. Would you hire this man? Play Rubio.
Children, it's the hope of parents everywhere. Politicians here and throughout the world.
Finished.
Have long...
Off. See the pause? Nothing. Nothing compelling. You heard it before. I envision parents everywhere. A stork. I saw a Johnson & Johnson baby powder. I saw baby shoes. I didn't see anything compelling. He's a nice guy. I liked his story, Rubio. I was surprised at the Republican convention, how compelling his story was about his father, because I'm an immigrant son. You don't know that. I'm a mean guy. I'm an immigrant son, worked my way up from nothing. Everything I have, I achieved through my own hard work. So I appreciate Rubio's story. But the man is not ready for prime time. Absolutely not. I don't know if I were to say, where does he belong, a guy like this? Again, the hand gestures throwing me off. The Duluth hand gestures from a guy from Cuba. Just they don't work. He should sound like Al Pacino in Carlito's Way or something like that. Some passion, something. See, that's it. No passion again. They taught him, don't sound too passionate because you'll scare the middle America. But they're wrong. People want passion. Turn him up again for 1 minute, 1 second. He's finished? Oh, thank God, we're through for the night. What a workout I've had. I'm not having a drink tonight. I'm too upset to even have my normal one drink after the show. I'm not having it, nothing. Don't want it. I don't want it at all. All eyes are on the runaway murderer, and he's dead, thank God, if you haven't heard the news. Shot himself in the head after killing another cop today. And please, would you please stop buying the lie of CNN that he was a victim of racism? Would you please, for the sake of your own sanity, study the facts? The murderer who shot himself in the head in that cabin today after killing another deputy, his first two victims were innocent people sitting in a car. One was a young lady whose father had defended him. She is of Asian, African-American descent. She was shot dead in the car. Her fiancé is an African-American. He was shot dead in the car, and yet the vermin in the media won't show them. Why won't they show them? Because then CNN can't say that the murderer was a victim. This way they can say he was Rodney King. And he had a reason, a rationale for killing. That's the justification. It's unbelievable to me. The country is, okay, I said it over 100 times. It's like China during the opium wars. The people have been doped up with drugs, legal and illegal. They're narcotized. I don't blame the population. The population basically has always been people want to be left alone. Remember the French Revolution, if you studied it. What did they want? What did the poor of the streets of Paris? They wanted a jug of wine. They were poor. They wanted a scrap of bread, but more than the scrap of bread, you know what they wanted? They wanted to steal a barrel of wine off a truck and get drunk in the gutter. That's all they wanted when they were poor. Do you think it's any different in America today? What do you think people want? Instead of getting drunk or stoned, so they want a Prozac, so they feel nothing at all. They want to be numb and walk around. They figure Obama's no different than the rest of them. They're all liars anyway. See, that's their mistake. They don't understand he is different than all of them. He's disarming us. He is selling us out to the enemy. He's destroying the economy. He's starving us of the energy liberation that we could have with the Keystone XL pipeline. He is letting illegal aliens flood into America when they're not citizens. On and on, he's not like the other presidents. This is a league beyond, many leagues beyond what we've seen before. We're all used to corruption in politics. I'm a realist. Believe me. John on KSFO in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I have my heart rate up way too high listening to this president talk about immigration. In one breath, he's talking about the fact that there are not enough jobs, people are unemployed. Mm-hmm. The next moment, he's talking about giving work permits to 11 million people who do not belong here.
You mean 30 million. If he says 11 million, triple it, it's 30 million. Now, with chain migration, they can bring their families in. That means it's 50 million or more.
It's an endless supply. But,
John, you see, they don't need jobs because they're instant Democrat voters. They're entitled to an Obama phone. They get a food stamp. They get an Obama phone. Maybe he'll give them a free house and a car to go with it. And you'll pay for it, John. You should pay for all of it.
About 27 million people in America with a high school degree or less who are unemployed right now.
That doesn't matter. They're automatically entitled to an Obama phone, a car, maybe free shoes, government shoes, a little blue uniform. John, I'm sending you a copy of A Time for War. I hope you enjoy reading the nightmare that I present in this fictional version of what China is planning for us. And it's fiction, mind you. I love the Chinese people. I just distrust the communist government. It's that simple. I didn't say that yet. I have actually always admired the Chinese culture. I'm actually an amateur student of Chinese literature, Chinese poetry, Chinese art. I've long admired the Chinese culture. I just have a little problem with the communist Chinese. You know, harvesting kidneys is a little tough for me to absorb. Killing 60 million people on the Mao Zedong, a little difficult to ignore. And if you think that they have changed their ways, well, in some ways they have. They have sort of a mixed political system in China. It's soft Marxism and hard crony capitalism of the type that's emerging in America. Did you hear what I just said? Soft Marxism and hard crony capitalism. That is why the premier of China had his military hack into the Washington Post and the New York Times not 3 weeks ago, because they were writing unflattering stories about the billionaires who were related to the governmental officials in China. But you wouldn't know that because it didn't make it to your local Politburo approved paper. 1-855-407-2822. I'm so glad you're here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. Michael Savage here. Now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2013, resolve to protect your most valuable assets, your family. Every day we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, unemployment, food shortages, slaughters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I only recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. From breakfast through dinner, WiseFoodStorage.com ready-made foods are packaged for freshness in individual pouches. Do you know that they carry up to a 25-year shelf life? They're prepared in minutes just by adding water. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today, and guess what? You get a free entree sample. Did you hear that? For a limited time, enter the promo code SAVAGE to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. And be sure to mention the promo code SAVAGE for a free sample and free shipping on any order. You've got to be ready and you've got to be wise with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Imagine reaching your New Year's weight loss goals without having to give up chocolate. What's better than chocolate? Delicious free chocolate. I'm health editor Danica Collins. For years, you've heard about the health benefits of chocolate. Now, for the first time, the health benefits of this mouth-watering treat have been paired with the Beverly Hills Mega Weight Loss System. And during this national introduction, you're getting the chocolate free. This system combines the science of your body's metabolism with a supplement containing natural ingredients proven in clinical studies to help you lose weight. Plus, we'll help you shape up without even stepping into the gym with a twice-a-week fun and simple 12-minute fitness program. The new you for the new year starts right now. Why would you wait any longer? Did I mention the free chocolate? This is a weight loss system that you'll love, and to prove it, we'll send you our chocolate free. Call in the next 90 minutes, 800-827-FATLOSS. You only have 90 minutes to get your free chocolate, and then it's gone. 800-827-FATLOSS. 800-827-3285.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Ever had your bank issue you a new debit, ATM, or credit card, but you didn't request one? That's probably because someone hacked the bank's computer system, and your bank is trying to stay one step ahead of the identity thieves who snatched your personal information. And that's why you need to call LifeLock now. When you call LifeLock, you can get the most comprehensive identity theft protection available. LifeLock Ultimate. LifeLock Ultimate offers 24/7 protection and is the only identity theft protection service that now monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. So call 1-800-978-9766 now. Mention Enroll 60 and get the first 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. Call 1-800-978-9766. 1-800-978-9766. Check LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary. 1-800-978-9766.
Bill Wattenberg here. For the past 11 years, I've been telling you about NewPain.com. Some things don't change. NewPain's commitment to offering quality Milgard products at reasonable prices put them in a class above their competitors. NewPain's proud to sell Milgard windows. Go to NewPain.com. That's N-E-W-P-A-N-E, like windowpane.com. And get prices on the complete line of Milgard windows in wood, fiberglass, vinyl, and aluminum. All offer high-performance, energy-efficient glazing. NewPain will sell you the windows directly if you or your contractor want to install them. And when you buy from NewPain, you'll never have to deal with the salesman in your home. NewPain will cut through all the nonsense and give you prices without the fairy tales. NewPain is one of Milgard's premier dealers. Go to NewPain.com. Or call them at 800-614-7263. That's 800-614-7263. And tell them Bill sent you.
This is a public notice for those currently in the market for a refinance. For the first time in recent history, wholesale interest rates are now being made available to the general public. While interest rates have hit all-time lows, the Wall Street Journal reported that home prices in the second quarter rose from the year-ago period for the first time since 2007. These conditions have opened an unprecedented window for homeowners to take advantage of these interest rates, but only for a limited time. Borrowers can now get fixed-rate loans at the incredibly low rate of only 2.875% APR. That's a fixed-rate loan at just 2.875%. To take advantage of these wholesale rate offerings, call 800-951-1200. That's 800-951-1200. And get a fixed-rate loan at a rate of only 2.875% APR. Once again, that's 800-951-1200. 800 951-1200.
Rates subject to change. All offers subject to credit approval based on $417,000 loan amount. IntelliLoan is licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS 3290.
Heart to 560 KSFO.
The world is shaken by Obama's weakness. Why? In 2008, Obama promised to eliminate North Korea nukes. They set off nuclear weapons yesterday. The world is freaked out. And Obama's walking around, oh, raise taxes, clean energy, nothing, not to mention. And by the way, wants to reduce our nuclear arsenal. Savage envisions China threat in a time for war. I would say it's prescient. My book comes out literally a day after they set off nuclear weapons in China. But because I'm hated in the media, because men like Wallbanger and others, who I will not mention, are jealous of my intellect and the fact that I got where I am simply through brains, and through, frankly, guts, because I'm an immigrant's son, and I still have that in me. I mean, I still have the drive in me. I'm still hungry. See, that's the thing you got to understand, is I'm still hungry to get my message across. I'm not blasé about anything. And they hate me for it, because they don't have my passion. But nevertheless, put that aside, you'd think the world would say, hey, this guy's really, this is something. I mean, a book about this now, the day after the nuclear weapon, but nothing. Like it never happened. Why? Jealousy. North Korea blows off the bomb, nothing. And Obama didn't say anything about it tonight, did he? Did I miss that part of the speech? I mean, I was on the air. Did he mention North Korea? Maybe he did. What did he say he's going to do? He's going to make certain that they can grow cabbage in the winter with some miracle crop. I don't know. What did he say about the weapons for North Korea? Nothing. Did anyone hear it or not? Anyone listening to Savage Nation, did he mention the bombs that North Korea set off? Test number three, miniaturized and lighter, able to be put on top of a rocket that could reach Los Angeles, San Francisco. Do you know, I think this country is so narcotized. Do you think that if they launched, God forbid they launched a rocket at one of our states, do you think the country would react? They'd go on like nothing happened. And now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Hollywood, it's the Academy. We'll interrupt this Academy Award show to mention a very sad story. It's scary. A scary story that a some kind of explosion occurred in one of our states. But we'll be right back with more from the Academy Awards. I am telling you right now that China is behind this. I said that in the article. Savage said tonight, make no mistake about it, the North Korean nuclear blast, China is behind them. They are China's junkyard dog. They do nothing without approval from Beijing. This is China's message to Obama. Do as we say, or we can't predict what our Korean friend might do. And what does China want from Obama? Unilateral disarmament of U.S. nukes and disarming the American population. Take their guns away. And their puppets, like Dianne Feinstein, are working around the clock to disarm the population while they're arming themselves to the teeth. Put two and two together, please. Do me a favor. Read A Time for War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Securities and advisory services are offered through NPC, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Vitucci & Associates Insurance Services and NPC are separate and unrelated companies. Brian Sussman is not an NPC representative.
Hey, Brian Sussman here, and thanks to the politicians in D.C. and Sacramento, you and I have a little bit more money being taken out of our pockets, and therefore we're all concerned about our finances, but what kind of a game plan do you have? What are you doing? One guy who can help us all is Pat Vitucci. He's a Bay Area independent financial advisor. And whatever tax bracket you're in, you can expect more taxes being taken from your paycheck. What's your best move? What about financial planning and retirement planning? As an independent advisor with 15 Bay Area offices, Pat Vitucci can help you. And by the way, Pat and I have done several seminars together over the years. He is a brilliant financial planner. Call him anytime for a complimentary consultation. 800-472-8305. That's 800-472-8305. Or don'tinvestandforget.com.
This is the all-new Hot Talk 560 KSFO San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, a Cumulus station.
Congress must act as well by passing legislation to give our government a greater capacity to secure our networks and deter attacks. This is something we should be able to get done on a bipartisan basis. Now, even as we protect our people, we should remember that today's world presents not just dangers, not just threats, it presents opportunities to boost American exports, support American jobs, and level the playing field in the growing markets of Asia. We intend to complete negotiations on a Trans-Pacific Partnership. And tonight I'm announcing that we will launch talks on a comprehensive transatlantic trade and investment partnership with the European Union, because trade that is fair and free across the Atlantic supports millions of good-paying American jobs. We also know that progress in the most impoverished parts of our world enriches us all, not only because it creates new markets, more stable order in certain regions of the world, but also because it's the right thing to do. You know, in many places, people live on little more than a dollar a day. So the United States will join with our allies to eradicate such extreme poverty in the next two decades by connecting more people to the global economy, by empowering women, by giving our young and brightest minds new opportunities to serve, and helping communities to feed, empower, and educate themselves, by saving the world's children from preventable deaths, and by realizing the promise of an AIDS-free generation, which is within our reach. You see, America must remain a beacon to all who seek freedom during this period of historic change. I saw the power of hope last year in Rangoon, in Burma, when Aung San Suu Kyi welcomed an American president into the home where she had been imprisoned for years. When thousands of Burmese lined the streets waving American flags, including a man who said, "There is justice and law in the United States. I want our country to be like that." In defense of freedom, will remain the anchor of strong alliances from the Americas to Africa, from Europe to Asia. In the Middle East, we will stand with citizens as they demand their universal rights and support stable transitions to democracy. We know the process will be messy, and we cannot presume to dictate the course of change in countries like Egypt, but we can and will insist on respect for the fundamental rights of all people. We'll keep the pressure on a Syrian regime that has murdered its own people and support opposition leaders that respect the rights of every Syrian. And we will stand steadfast with Israel in pursuit of security and a lasting peace. These are the messages I'll deliver when I travel to the Middle East next month. And all this work depends on the courage and sacrifice of those who serve in dangerous places at great personal risk. Our diplomats, our intelligence officers, and the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. As long as I'm Commander-in-Chief, we will do whatever we must to protect those who serve their country abroad, and we will maintain the best military the world has ever known. We'll invest in new capabilities, even as we reduce waste and wartime spending. We will ensure equal treatment for all service members and equal benefits for their families, gay and straight. We will draw upon the courage and skills of our sisters and daughters and moms, because women have proven under fire that they are ready for combat. We will keep faith with our veterans, investing in world-class care, including mental health care, for our wounded warriors. Supporting our military families, giving our veterans the benefits and education and job opportunities that they have earned. And I want to thank my wife, Michelle, and Dr. Jill Biden for their continued dedication to serving our military families as well as they have served us. Thank you, honey. Thank you, Jill. Defending our freedom, though, is not just the job of our military alone. We must all do our part to make sure our God-given rights are protected here at home. That includes one of the most fundamental rights of a democracy, the right to vote. When any American, no matter where they live or what their party, are denied that right because they can't afford to wait for 5 or 6 or 7 hours just to cast their ballot, we are betraying our ideals. So tonight I'm announcing a nonpartisan commission to improve the voting experience in America, and it definitely needs improvement. I'm asking 2 longtime experts in the field, who, by the way, recently served as the top attorneys for my campaign and for Governor Romney's campaign, to lead it. We can fix this, and we will. The American people demand it, and so does our democracy. Of course, what I've said tonight matters little if we don't come together to protect our most precious resource, our children. It has been 2 months since Newtown. I know this is not the first time this country has debated how to reduce gun violence. But this time is different. Overwhelming majorities of Americans, Americans who believe in the Second Amendment, have come together around common sense reform, like background checks that will make it harder for criminals to get their hands on a gun. Senators of both parties are working together on tough new laws to prevent anyone from buying guns for resale to criminals. Police chiefs are asking our help to get weapons of war and massive ammunition magazines off our streets because these police chiefs, they're tired of seeing their guys and gals being outgunned. Each of these proposals deserves a vote in Congress. If you want to vote no, that's your choice. But these proposals deserve a vote. Because in the 2 months since Newtown, more than 1,000 birthdays, graduations, anniversaries have been stolen from our lives by a bullet from a gun. More than 1,000. One of those we lost was a young girl named Hydea Pendleton. She was 15 years old. She loved Fig Newtons and lip gloss. She was a majorette. She was so good to her friends, they all thought they were her best friend. Just 3 weeks ago, she was here in Washington with her classmates, performing for her country at my inauguration. And a week later, she was shot and killed in a Chicago park after school, just a mile away from my house. Idea's parents, Nate and Cleo, are in this chamber tonight, along with more than 24 Americans whose lives have been torn apart by gun violence. They deserve a vote. They deserve a vote. They deserve a vote. Gabby Giffords deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Aurora deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities ripped open by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote. They deserve a simple vote. Our actions will not prevent every senseless act of violence in this country. In fact, no laws, no initiatives, no administrative acts will perfectly solve all the challenges I've outlined tonight. But we were never sent here to be perfect. We were sent here to make what difference we can to secure this nation, expand opportunity, uphold our ideals through the hard, often frustrating, but absolutely necessary work of self-government. We were sent here to look out for our fellow Americans the same way they look out for one another every single day, usually without fanfare, all across this country. We should follow their example. We should follow the example of a New York City nurse named Menchu Sanchez. When Hurricane Sandy plunged her hospital into darkness, She wasn't thinking about how her own home was faring. Her mind was on the 20 precious newborns in her care and the rescue plan she devised that kept them all safe. We should follow the example of a North Miami woman named Desaline Victor. When Desaline arrived at her polling place, she was told the wait to vote might be 6 hours. And as time ticked by, her concern was not with her tired body or aching feet, but whether folks like her would get to have their say. And hour after hour, a throng of people stayed in line to support her, because Desaline is 102 years old. And they erupted in cheers when she finally put on a sticker that read, "I voted." We should follow the example of a police officer named Brian Murphy. When a gunman opened fire on a Sikh temple in Wisconsin, Brian was the first to arrive, and he did not consider his own safety. He fought back until help arrived and ordered his fellow officers to protect the safety of the fellow Americans worshiping inside, even as he lay bleeding from 12 bullet wounds. And when asked how he did that, Brian said, "That's just the way we're made. That's just the way we're made. We may do different jobs and wear different uniforms and hold different views than the person beside us, but as Americans, we all share the same proud title. We are citizens. It's a word that doesn't just describe our nationality or our legal status. It describes the way we're made. It describes what we believe. It captures the enduring idea that this country only works when we accept certain obligations to one another and to future generations, that our rights are wrapped up in the rights of others, and that well into our third century as a nation, it remains the task of us all, as citizens of these United States, to be the authors of the next great chapter of our American story. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States of America.
Live from the Capitol, President Obama delivering his State of the Union address, drawing new battle lines before a divided Congress on his mission to build what he called a thriving middle class. Emboldened by his reelection, the president declared the nation had cleared away the rubble of crisis, but he said economic revival is an unfinished task. He made a case for government spending to help revive it, particularly in education, energy, and infrastructure. He called for a gradual increase in the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour from the current $7.25. Most of the words were about jobs. Most of the emotion in the room was about guns. The president said in a refrain, victims of gun violence, many of whom are in the room, deserve a vote on new proposed laws. I'm Aaron Katursky. You're listening to live coverage from ABC News.
We need doctors and we need scientists, engineers. We need all of those people involved in government.
We do.
Not just lawyers. I don't have anything against lawyers. But, you know, here's the thing about lawyers. And I'm sorry, but I got to be truthful. Okay? Got to be truthful. What do lawyers learn in law school? To win. By hook or by crook, you got to win. So you got all these Democrat lawyers and you got all these Republican lawyers, and all their side wants to win.
That is Dr. Benjamin Carson, the brilliant pediatric neurosurgeon, on lawyers at the National Prayer Breakfast. This guy's shaking up the political world. He'd be a far better candidate than Rubio. I mean, Rubio's green. He's green like a coffee bean that hasn't been roasted yet, for God's sakes. We need Carson. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm live right now. This is not a figment of your imagination. Live, and you can call us at 855-497-2282. I was preempted for about 77 minutes or so, by the the speech of El Presidente, along the lines of Cuba. See, in Cuban elections, there is only one candidate for each seat, and no suspense over who will win, because, you know, in other words, there's an election, but there's only one candidate for the seat. See, that's the system we're arriving at very shortly in America. And the voters' only choice in Cuba is whether to approve of them or not. And most candidates receive well over 90%. That's the system that we're moving towards in the Democrat and Republican government that we have now. I see that Fidel Castro feels the aches and pains of aging. They leave out the people he's murdered. They leave out the fact that he's one of the last surviving Marxist dictators on the planet. Fidel Castro describes aches and pains of aging by Paul Haven of the Associated Press. Havana, AP. Retired Cuban President Fidel Castro complained of a bad knee, weak eyesight, and difficulty adjusting to change in life during a lengthy interview session with state-run media published Tuesday. Sounds like me. I swear to God, I have a bad knee right now. I can hardly walk on my right leg. My eyesight is not as good as, I mean, I have to wear glasses, and difficulty adjusting to change in light. I've had that since I'm five. The 86-year-old revolutionary icon, they're not talking about me, because A, I'm not 86, I'm not a revolutionary icon, also praised Cuban election officials. Whatever. Look at the puff piece these people at the AP write. Look at the garbage that these idiots who come out of journalism school write. Instead of saying he's a dictator, there are still people rotting in jail from the revolution. Instead of talking about what he's done to the economy, wrecked it. Look how they glorify him, these people. These are the same people who just glorify the shooter. These are the same people who tell you that China has no ill intent towards us, that they're our friends. These are the same people who, well, they're the people who've ruined America. They're the devil themselves. Savage says CNN anchor embodies devil in the media. Sympathy for cop killer shows the madness of the world we're living in. That's what it's a world in the daily right now. Remember that they were glorifying the murderer who just shot himself in the cabin in Southern California? They already turned him into a victim like a Rodney King. I went crazy on the show yesterday because they wouldn't tell you that he killed. The first two people he killed in cold blood was a black male and an Asian black female, shot him dead in cold blood. But the rats at CNN wanted you to think he was a minority with a legitimate grievance. They were praying L.A. would burn. They prayed L.A. would burn. Burn, baby, burn, so they could get high ratings. It's sickening. But look, there's nothing new under the sun. What we have in the media today is about the equivalent of what we had when Hearst first came on the scene and had national newspapers. And literally stampeded America into a war in order to sell newspapers. He admitted it later on. CNN's no different. None of the other channels are any different. If they could burn a city to the ground and get higher ratings, they would do it. So that's my job, is to awaken you. Awaken, awaken, awaken. Every night on the Savage Nation. So I wrote it. I wrote A Time for War. And I believe that the North Korea nuclear blast should have awakened the world to what China is really up to here. And what they're doing is threatening us through North Korea, in my opinion. They want Obama to do what they want, which is cut our nuclear arsenal to the point where we can't defend ourselves against them and disarm the population of our Second Amendment rights. That's what China has called for. I'm not making it up. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you're gay, straight, black, white, yellow. It doesn't matter to me. China said they want us to be disarmed. China's told Obama they want our nuclear arsenal cut. So it doesn't matter whether you like me or not. I'm telling you what the truth is. North Korea does nothing unless China approves of it. Make no mistake about it. Nothing. Which is why it's important you pay attention to the North Korean nuclear blast. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It doesn't matter whether you like my politics or not. At the end of the day, one nuclear bomb can destroy your day. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter what your race, religion, creed. I don't even know what a creed is. Heard it since I'm in the fifth grade. Race, religion, a creed. What is a creed? I know what race is. I know what religion is. What is a creed? Yes, I'm of that creed, and I'm sorry you're not of my creed. And therefore, I can't talk to you tonight. We don't eat the same food. We don't breathe the same air. I'm not sure you even have two lungs, but because we're not from the same creed. What is a creed? As enemy operatives plan a two-pronged attack to disarm the American military, release a deadly toxin killing hundreds of thousands of civilians, Jack Hatfield and Dover race to locate this new ground zero and save an unsuspecting country from this threat of the China cell. It's in A Time for War. You've heard about it. You can go to a bookstore and actually look at it tomorrow. I'm not going to do an Abbie Hoffman and say, steal this book. Creed, a religious belief system. What's a religious belief system? I know what a religion is. What's a religious belief system? What does that mean? It's like Wiccan? That's a creed now? Well, the military accepts it as a creed. West Point, they have devil worship now at West Point in Annapolis in order to make certain that they don't discriminate. Oh, yeah, same thing. Devil worship at the military academies. Look what they're turning out. Take a look at what they're turning out of the military academies, like brainwashed zombies. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day is this Thursday, and there's still time to do it right and get a huge reaction. So go big with the Big Hunk of Love Bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. This teddy bear is over 4.5 feet tall. He's big, he's soft, he's adorable. It doesn't get much bigger than the Big Hunk of Love Bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. A gift this big means you'll get a big reaction from her, which is what you want, right? Send it to her office for a really big surprise that will really show how much you really care. Best of all, the Big Hunk of Love Bear is available for a limited time for only $99.99. Can you believe it? And delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. The Big Hunk of Love Bear shows that you really care about making Valentine's Day special. Like all Vermont teddy bears, he's guaranteed for life. So for the biggest reaction and the biggest reward, get her the Big Hunk of Love Bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. It's only $99.99, so go big and go home happy. Vermont Teddy Bear also has hundreds of other classic teddy bears for Valentine's Day. Overnight and Valentine's Day delivery are guaranteed. Visit VermontTeddyBear.com or call 1-800-829-BEAR and tell them Savage sent you.
Safe Light Replace.
Julian with Safe Light Auto Glass.
When you have auto glass damage, it makes a big difference who you choose to fix it. Only Safe Light, America's largest, gives you the reliability of always being there. With our 24/7 live call center, online scheduling, even a mobile app. And Safe Light emails a photo of the technician before we arrive, so you know who to expect.
Just ask your insurance company for Safe Light or call 800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
The joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately until now. Introducing the complimentary two-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Claim your sample today. 1-800-922-8983. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex is available at GNC, but you can only get your complimentary two-week sample by calling 1-800-922-8983. 1-800-922-8983.
Mike Ruco here. Hey, are you tired of bumbling around for those reading glasses? You can't see the menu, can't see the scorecard on the golf course, can't read the yellow pages? Enough already. I got Dr. Dan Beers right here. He's an expert in a new vision procedure called Restore. Now, Dan, I understand this procedure can give your patient sharp 20/20 vision for both reading and distance.
That's right, Mike. After age 50, our reading vision fades away. I perform a lot of LASIK, but LASIK has limitations for patients over age 50. With LASIK after age 50, I can set one eye for distance, one eye for reading, but if you want to see 20/20 with both eyes for distance and for reading, then the Restore procedure is definitely the best option.
All right, so you could come to the yard, watch Tim Lincecum throw strikeouts on the field, and you could read your program at the same time. If you happen to have a cataract, then your medical insurance may even pay for part of the procedure. All right, folks, if you're sick and tired of reading glasses, call 1-877-5-BEERS-5 for a free consultation with Dr. Beers in Mountain View. 1-877-5-BEERS-5. 1-877-5-BEERS-5.
They say every car on the road is a used car, which means every car at the curb or in the garage is an unused car, and a lot of times it's an unwanted car, too. If you have one of those, then why not donate it to the Cancer Fund of America? Just call 800-321-3023. Where live operators are available 7 days a week. We'll pick up your car, running or not in most cases, and do all the DMV and smog paperwork. Of course, you're eligible for a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your car is going to help support the Cancer Fund. All you have to do is call that phone number, 800-321-3023, to set the wheels in motion, literally. We take cars, trucks, vans, boats, RVs. Listen, if it used to carry you around and it doesn't need oats, call the number, 800-321-3023. The Cancer Fund of America needs you, and there are thousands of people who need the Cancer Fund of America. So call today, 800-321-3023. Thanks.
Two Social Security numbers, school teacher Michelle Smith, store manager Sean Anderson, both with great credit and savings accounts. We'll start the bidding at $50.
Did you know there are black market websites around the world dedicated to selling stolen identities?
Sold to the buyer from Russia.
There's no way you could monitor these black market websites on your own. You need help. You need LifeLock services. LifeLock helps protect your identity by searching over 10,000 of these black market internet sites for illegal selling of your personal information. It's just one of the services we offer in the most comprehensive identity theft protection you can buy. Arm yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Call and mention Enroll 60 for 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. See LifeLock.com for details. Call 1-800-838-7060. 1-800-838-7060. 1-800-838-7060. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
On the next morning show, the real State of the Union, the winner of the Vegas contest and Whistleblower Wednesday. Join me, Brian Sussman, Melanie, and Katie, 5 to 9 a.m.
But, you know, I've read all of the pros and cons on this, and I'd like to open it up to you on the Savage Nation, because I realize that this is a departure in many ways from what you would expect me to say. I should sit here like a knee-jerk neocon jerk on the radio or a nervous nailing media conservative and say, oh, Obama's a murderer, Holder's a killer. I should say absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, I agree with this. Do you agree with it or not? Do you agree with Obama in stating that he has the right to kill a U.S. citizen who is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or an associated force of Al-Qaeda without violating the Constitution? You agree with it or not? The phone number is 855-407-2822. Well, I agree with it. And I don't understand why you wouldn't. I don't understand it. I know many of you have already drawn conclusions on it. And it's overseas, number one. And number two, I don't understand why you would be afraid of it. Yes, I understand. You could say, well, there's someone in the government will say that you're an enemy of the state, you're traveling to France, they're going to kill you. You have to be a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or an associated force of Al-Qaeda. You know, and if you are, you should be killed. And by the way, let me remind you something else. Without such a legal interpretation as we... The United States, that is the North, could not have fought the South, that is the Confederates, during the American Civil War, incidentally. You see, the North believed that the Confederates were still citizens because it did not recognize the sovereignty of the South. So then how could a Northern officer launch a surprise attack against a Southern stronghold or kill Southern officers? Firing a cannon at Atlanta or Charleston with the intent to kill would have been impossible. It's the same thing today. If an American citizen takes up arms in support of Al-Qaeda or any other organization with an intent to kill me or you or any other Americans that they can find, this is not a political assassination. This is a defensive operation. Because as you well know, Al-Qaeda operates like a nation without a discernible border. Fundamentally, it's a nation built around a false religious belief. And the fact of the matter is, unless you come to understand we're at war, you have to open your eyes to what is going on here. I understand the legal framework has been pushed. I understand that many of you are nervous Nellies because you've been panicked by Clarabelle and his clowns. I understand that. I understand that Clarabelle and his clowns have come out on the side of the ACLU against Obama. Because if Obama sneezed, they would see a conspiracy in the sneeze. They would say, we had an NBC report today that Obama sneezed on the White House lawn in an attempt to infect the United States of America with the flu virus. Moreover, we can corroborate that Eric Holder was seen sneezing on the way to a luncheon in Washington, D.C., and he did so in order to infect the citizens of Washington, D.C., with a norovirus. That's why they both sneezed today. What is wrong with you people? How in the world can you disagree with everything Obama does until you finally look yourself in the mirror and say, I've gone crazy? I remember the years, by the way, of the Bush bashing. It became tedious, boring, predictable. Remember, there was a liberal network. I forget its name. It's out of business. Everything Bush did, if he sneezed, if he burped, if he missed a sentence, they would attack him. And they went out of business for it. And let me tell you something else. Conservative radio is collapsing right now for the same reason. There's no brains. There's no discernment. There's no thought. There's no consideration. There's no justification for half the things they say. All they're doing is, oh, whatever Obama does is bad. Obama, bad, 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 bad. He's evil. He's evil, 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 evil. Well, I don't like 95% of the things he's done. But in this case, I agree with him. I believe that there may not be a legal case for drone strikes on Americans. I think that is a stretch. But I'm all for killing them. How's that? Does that work for you? I'd rather see them wiped out than another city wiped out. How does that work for you? Now, I know what I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear that it's incrementalism. I'm going to hear that today we're for it. Tomorrow the justification will be stretched from the right to conduct a lethal operation outside the U.S. against the U.S. citizen to inside the United States against the U.S. citizen, who is not only not a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda, but let us say the leader of a Tea Party. That's ridiculous. That is not going to happen. Why must we disagree, and I mean vehemently and stupidly disagree, with every policy decision of this administration? Do you not understand it makes you into a moron? It makes you into a knee-jerk. Remember, we used to have a word, a phrase, knee-jerk liberal. We laughed about it even in the 60s, knee-jerk liberal. He or she is a knee-jerk liberal. Well, now we have knee-jerk, I wouldn't even call them conservatives. I'd say knee-jerk Republicans, because that's what you have here. And speaking of Republicans, you want to hear a shameful story that's not tied to this at all? How many years have I told you Karl Rove is an embarrassment? How many years have I told you Karl Rove is really a despicable human being, an operative of the Republican Party? Karl Rove declared war on the Tea Party. Karl Rove was published in the New York Times, and he laid out his plans to protect Republicrats from Tea Party insurgents on the front page of the Sunday newspaper. He set up a new PAC to grift out hundreds of millions of dollars called the American Crossroads Super PAC in order to suck money out of the frightened Republicans to destroy the Tea Party. Can you believe this? Can you believe that I have been right about Karl Rove from day one? And if I'm right about Karl Rove, then I'm also right about Fox News, because he is Fox News. Karl Rove must have been on Wallbanger's show 1,000 times over the last 4 years, 5 years. Karl Rove was the guru of Wallbanger and the others. I never liked the man. I didn't like his looks. I didn't like what he stood for. And now I know that I was right. I'm always right. When I'm wrong, I tell you I'm wrong. I'm right today, too. I'm telling you that we are at war, and if you don't want to accept it, that's your problem. Radical Islam is at war not only with America. Radical Islam is at war with the people in India who are not Muslims, called Hindus. Certainly they're at war with Israel. That's a given, but we don't have to go into that. Right now, the radical Muslims are at war and have been at war with the Catholics in the Philippines for a long time. They're at war with the entire planet in order to convert us to their ideology, their insane ideology of hand-cutting, genital manipulation, genital mutilation, the subjugation of women, the killing of homosexuals, and taking the world back 1,100 years. I'm all for it. This memo that Obama and Holder released or leaked refers to enemy combatants. Enemy combatants who would destroy the United States of America. So if you are in favor of an Islamist picking up an improvised explosive device, an IED, and planting it on the New York State Thruway, because they learned how to do it in their home country of Pakistan or some other country over there, well, then you are an idiot. You're a complete moron. You've fallen into the sinkhole called the ACLU. The ACLU got all worked up over this memo. Not because they care about the Constitution. They hate the Constitution. The ACLU hates the church. The ACLU hates the American people. The ACLU cares only about criminals, terrorists, and perverts, period. That's their entire constituency. Then they wrap themselves in the Constitution. As I remember, before I was in talk radio, I used to get angry at the leftists on the KPFA channel, and my heart would beat. I would hate them so much for what they were saying. And I would call them and try to argue with them, and then I gave up because they control the microphone, as I do. And you figured, the cards were stacked against you. You couldn't win. But actually, I'm a little different than that. I mean, if you have a cogent argument, I will hear it, and I'll listen to you. But if you're just going to scream and rave and put me down, I'll hang up on you. You won't even get through the call screener. You know, because I told you the definition of hell was defined as a place where there is no reason. I don't want to go to hell with you, frankly. And I am telling you I agree with Obama and Holder in their white paper. Period. End of story. And I know I'm right for a couple of reasons. One, because the ACLU is against them on this. And so, therefore, the ACLU's desire to protect Islamists has trumped their love of Obama. Justice Department memo reveals legal case for drone strikes on Americans. Read the entire white paper on drone strikes on Americans. Well, I did. And you'll see that it's overseas. It's a U.S. citizen who's a senior operational leader of al-Qaeda or an associated force of al-Qaeda. So what? Well, what's the point of arguing with that? Why must everything Obama does be wrong? Oh, yes, I understand at night he's putting on camouflage. And with the protection of the Secret Service, he's running around Washington, D.C. with viruses on his fingers, and he's touching gas pumps in order to spread noroviruses. And Holder is doing the same thing all over the city. He's going to shop supermarkets in the middle of the night. And without gloves on his hands, he's spreading noroviruses on shopping carts. I mean, is that what you want to believe? I mean, that's what it's becoming.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Good evening. I'm Dave Fowkes, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. We start with an ABC update in the investigation into Christopher Dorner and the standoff that ended in the mountains near Big Bear, California.
Just concluded minutes ago, a news conference by the Los Angeles County Police Department, during which officials insist nobody has been found inside the charred, burned-down mountain cabin in the San Bernardino Mountains. LAPD Commander Andrew Smith.
That cabin is still too hot for anybody to make entry. There has been nobody located inside of that cabin.
This after police sources told ABC News just last hour that a body has been located and is believed to be that of ex-LA cop Christopher Dorner, suspected in connection with four murders.
ABC News, their San Bernardino sheriff spokesman also saying no body has been recovered at the moment. Traffic westbound 80 Bay Bridge, cantilever section, stalled car, left lane blocked. I'm Dave Fowkes, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hundreds of thousands all over America are using Ovation Cell Therapy to help stop dry, brittle, damaged hair.
Your hair can be thicker, stronger, grow longer, and be healthy again with Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation is easy to use and guaranteed safe and effective, even for chemotherapy hair loss recovery.
Do you color treat your hair with harsh chemicals and dyes?
Do you style your hair with dryers and curling irons?
Have you damaged your hair from extensions and weaves?
Is your hair breaking off or falling out by the brushfuls due to stress, medications, or surgeries?
Ovation Cell Therapy can help restore the damage caused by these harsh treatments. With Ovation Cell Therapy, your hair can be healthy again.
For thicker, stronger, longer, healthier hair, simply log on to ovationhair.com and enter KSFO at checkout for a special introductory discount. Repair the damage now and have healthier, shinier, more manageable hair. Log on to ovationhair.com and enter KSFO at checkout for your special savings. ovationhair.com.
Are you over 18 and need to lose at least 10 to 20 pounds? Well, the first 50 visitors in your area can qualify for a free trial of a new powerful weight loss solution. Live Skinny. Too busy to exercise and hate dieting, but still want to look sexy, lean, and feel more confident? It's time to Live Skinny. As featured on Dr. Oz, the active ingredients African mango, raspberry ketone, green coffee bean extract, and Garcinia cambogia are clinically shown to help you lose weight. Women have even reported up to 11 pounds in 7 days or less. Live Skinny's ingredients and patented delivery system boosts your energy and sends your metabolism into overdrive. All you have to do is drink. It's literally weight loss support in a water bottle. In fact, a 10-week study shows the average weight loss was 28 pounds, and participants shed body fat by over 18%. The first 50 visitors click liveskinny.com for your free trial of Live Skinny, a convenient, easy, and powerful weight loss solution available today. Visit liveskinny.com. liveskinny.com.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit your local AT&T store or call 1-877-981-3359 to get your business started today. You pushed to talk. We pushed it further. AT&T. Rethink possible.
New activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never tell a zombie he looks like death warmed over. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Mark Levin and Michael Savage, back to back. Weekdays beginning at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Chris Kincaid is president of America Survival Inc., and he calls on Congress to investigate the controversial sale of Al Corleone's Current TV to Terra TV channel Al Jazeera. Cliff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be back with you.
Cliff, we're all concerned about this deal, but, I mean, what can we do to stop it?
This is a homeland security threat. This is Osama bin Laden's favorite TV channel. I mean, have we forgotten so soon about 9/11 and the 3,000 dead? Have we forgotten that Al-Qaeda, thanks to this administration, is on the march throughout the Middle East with the assistance of Al Jazeera and its sponsor and owner in Qatar in the Middle East? We have to be on guard here. We are still in a war, and now they want a permanent base on U.S. soil reaching 40 to 50 million homes. If we let this deal go forward, we're committing national suicide.
Give us the inside scoop on the press conference you held last week.
We had a big press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., trying to alert people to what's happening with Pamela Geller, who, of course, led the opposition to the Ground Zero Mosque in New York City. Basically, our thrust was, yes, to support calls for an immediate congressional hearing, an investigation into this deal, so we can stop it. Now, look, we're not calling for prosecutions at this point or a tribunal. It's not a Joe McCarthy hearing, but we do have the support in this call for an investigation from Dr. Yehuda Pearl, the father of the slain Wall Street Journal journalist Daniel Pearl, who, of course, was murdered by Al-Qaeda while he was investigating Al-Qaeda networks in Pakistan. Dr. Pearl is a very interesting man because since the murder of his son at the hands of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, Dr. Pearl has been trying to promote understanding between the West and the Arab Muslim world. But he recognizes, after watching Al Jazeera for 10 years, and he's watched every version of it, including the English language versions, that it is really poison. It doesn't contribute to dialogue. And he calls it a mouthpiece, an instrument of the Muslim Brotherhood. And moreover, warns that if you let this thing loose on U.S. soil, reaching American Muslims, about half of whom primarily speak English, you are possibly, potentially, creating more homegrown incidents of jihad on American soil. We cannot permit that to happen. All we're asking, though, for is a hearing, an investigation, and yet we've been met with stonewalling from the Republicans on Capitol Hill, including Congressman Mike McCaul, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee.
Do you think Al Gore and Dianne Feinstein's husband are using their political capital to avoid, to deflect, to shaft this hearing?
I think the fact that they made a lot of money from this sale, and they're prominent Democrats, along with Joel Hyatt, another co-owner of Current TV, together, along with their partners and investors, they made $500 million. I think that's one reason why the Obama administration approved this sale and didn't subject it to what is called the CFIUS review process. That's the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. This process should have taken a look at this transaction because of its national security ramifications. So they let it go through. And incredibly, the Republicans on Capitol Hill, including McCaul, including Steve Scalise, the chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, that's the caucus of conservatives in the House, and even people like Congressman Paul Brown of Georgia, who's now running for the Senate from Georgia, won't say a word. They won't even protest. I don't understand this attitude. Maybe they're afraid of being portrayed by the liberal media as another Joe McCarthy if they ask any questions about this. But they have to. That's their job. We expect oversight from the Congress. And we have to get beyond this media extravaganza. The little coverage that's been given to this transaction is that, well, Al Gore's a big hypocrite because he opposes big oil supposedly as the catalyst for global warming, and now he's taken $100 million out of this $500 million deal from the oil-rich state of Qatar in the Middle East. Now, that's despicable. That's hypocritical. I understand that, but it's not just dirty oil money. It's blood money. Again, this is the voice of Al-Qaeda. These are the people who have American blood on their hands. I've told the congressmen, members of Congress, and we said this at our news conference on February 5th, that what they're doing in this case is comparable during World War II of inviting these American propagandists for the Germans and the Japanese, Tokyo Rose and Axis Sally, into the United States and saying, go ahead, take over American broadcast facilities, spew your anti-American venom. Why, the greatest generation would never have permitted that. In fact, after the war, when our forces picked up Tokyo Rose and Axis Sally, we brought them back, prosecuted them, and sent them to prison for treason.
What are the connections between the country of Qatar and Al Jazeera?
Qatar owns Al Jazeera. Now, Gore and his and the other apologists for this deal keep saying, well, Al Jazeera is an independent news operation, sort of like the CNN or BBC. Nonsense. It's a state-owned government propaganda operation, has been from the start and still is. Qatar portrays itself as a friend of the United States because there is a U.S. military base there. And I submit we ought to get our troops out of there because they only really serve to prop up the regime. The regime is a dictatorship. It's run by an emir, a big guy who's worth billions of dollars, and he spreads his money around in the United States on Capitol Hill. He buys lobbyists like Barbara Griffith Rogers, the big Republican firm, the Democratic firm of Fenton Communications, Corvus Communications. He pays for congressional junkets back to Qatar. He sponsors these Al Jazeera forums where journalists go over there and get wined and dined in the big hotels. You know, this is part of what we're up against. My group, America Survival, we're a rather small nonprofit. People can go, though, to our website and see our evidence. We've put it all out on the table at usasurvival.org. We have the videos from our conference. We have reports and documents not only showing Qatar's ownership of Al Jazeera, but how Qatar has been, and Al Jazeera by extension, have been involved with terrorist groups going back not only to Al-Qaeda, but to Hamas, to Hezbollah, and most recently, Qatar has been funding the terrorists in Mali who were just behind the Algerian kidnapping crisis where several Americans were kidnapped and three of them killed. In that connection, playing its same old role, Al Jazeera ran a story about the Mali terrorists connected to Al-Qaeda, calling them having a gentle face. You know, this is the kind of just crazy pro-terrorist propaganda that we get from this channel and have gotten before and after 9/11 and since.
What would you say to someone who says, Cliff Kincaid, come on, you just hate freedom of speech when it doesn't agree with your positions?
We're all for freedom of speech. And, of course, the First Amendment does apply to foreigners inside the United States. They've got the First Amendment rights as well. They have freedom of expression and freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And we're in favor of that. But the fact is that the evidence shows Al Jazeera is not a legitimate news operation. It is really a terrorist front organization and therefore not protected by the First Amendment. And that's because we have laws in the United States which have been upheld by the Supreme Court that prohibit material support to terrorism. If you engage in that kind of terroristic or criminal activity, you can be banned. You can be outlawed. And in fact, years ago, a terrorist TV station associated with the Hezbollah terrorist group called Al-Manar was banned in the United States. Now, if the people on the other side don't believe me, they don't want to accept my evidence, and we've got it all, I've been following this for years, let's get it all out in the open at a congressional hearing. That's all we're asking for. Let's bring in the Al Jazeera people. Let's force them to respond to why they paid the legal bills, for example, for an Al Jazeera correspondent, Taysira Looney, who had interviewed bin Laden after 9/11, who was picked up by U.S. forces, sent back to his native Spain, prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced to prison for being an agent of Al-Qaeda. How are they going to explain that? How are they going to explain the hand-in-glove relationship they have with Al-Qaeda? The fact that every significant Al-Qaeda leader shows up on Al Jazeera giving speeches and providing his videotapes. You know, people who have been out and seen the new movie Zero Dark Thirty should pay attention closely because there's an interesting part of that movie where the CIA officer trying to locate bin Laden, finally locates bin Laden's courier in Pakistan, noting that the courier is located near an Al Jazeera office. Now, that's not a coincidence. This is no accident. That reflects the fact that Al Jazeera has been working closely with Al-Qaeda for all these years, and now we're going to bring them in on American soil?
So at what point do we declare this an act of treason against the United States? Doesn't anyone care about treason anymore?
We're dealing with people who don't understand the ramifications of national security, who don't understand that we continue to be at war, that there is a global jihad attacking us, and that it's on U.S. soil, and it's working its way and its will through facilities like Al Jazeera. This is the voice of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, we've got the documents from the famous Holy Land financing trial years ago in which the Muslim Brotherhood said that through their affiliates, they were going to try to destroy the United States from within. Well, Al Jazeera is their mouthpiece. And when they reach American Muslims, most of whom speak English, with this new English language, what they call Al Jazeera America, they're going to be reaching them with incendiary, inflammatory messages and propaganda sparking more potential incidents of homegrown terrorism. That's what we're worried about. That's why the Homeland Security Committee under Congressman McCaul of Texas has a responsibility to look at this, and yet they're stonewalling up there. These Republicans are so cowardly that apparently they don't want to irritate the Democrats. They don't want to get under the skin of Obama. They just want to get along and go along.
Can my listeners do anything to stop this deal?
Well, Michael, I remember when you motivated your audience years ago to stop the Dubai ports deal. And we all remember what happened. This company in Dubai, the Arab state of Dubai, announced that they had federal approval to take over U.S. ports. And they thought it was a done deal. It was going to go through. What's the, you know, no problem here. But thanks to you and your audience and people across the country, we said, no, we're not going to let this Arab government run our ports. And even then, Senator Barack Obama issued a statement saying, well, this is a very suspicious deal. We've got to examine this for its national security ramifications. And so what happened? Republicans and Democrats joined the bandwagon. They raised an outcry, and eventually that company in Dubai dropped the deal, and it was derailed. Well, the same thing can happen here if people start getting angry again. If we're going to stop them from running our ports, we have to stop them from taking over a cable channel into 40 to 50 million homes. Because remember, a big part of this war with global radical Islam is propaganda, disinformation, and the media war. Bin Laden himself said 90% of this war on America and the West is in the media. And now we're going to let them make an advance on American soil. We're going to let them come through the gates, so to speak, and come into our homes. And to top it off, we've got some evidence that they're already on some, maybe 30 public TV stations at our expense, using our tax dollars. No, this has got to stop. We've got to draw the line here if we're going to save this country.
Cliff Kincaid, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
Be sure to go to the bookstore and buy your copy of A Time for War now. Send a message to the world that you know what China is up to. I'm Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, guys, Valentine's Day is this Thursday, and there's still time to do it right and get a huge reaction. So go big with the big hunk of love bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. This teddy bear is over 4.5 feet tall. He's big, he's soft, he's adorable. It doesn't get much bigger than the big hunk of love bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. A gift this big means you'll get a big reaction from her, which is what you want, right? Send it to her office for a really big surprise that will really show how much you really care. Best of all, the big hunk of love bear is available for a limited time for only $99.99. Can you believe it? And delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. The big hunk of love bear shows that you really care about making Valentine's Day special. Like all Vermont teddy bears, he's guaranteed for life. So for the biggest reaction and the biggest reward, get her the big hunk of love bear from Vermont Teddy Bear. It's only $99.99, so go big and go home happy. Vermont Teddy Bear also has hundreds of other classic teddy bears for Valentine's Day. Overnight and Valentine's Day delivery are guaranteed. Visit VermontTeddyBear.com or call 1-800-829-BEAR and tell them Savage sent you.
Imagine reaching your New Year's weight loss goals without having to give up chocolate. What's better than chocolate? Delicious free chocolate. I'm health editor Danica Collins. For years, you've heard about the health benefits of chocolate. Now, for the first time, the health benefits of this mouth-watering treat have been paired with the Beverly Hills Mega Weight Loss System. And during this national introduction, you're getting the chocolate free. This system combines the science of your body's metabolism with a supplement containing natural ingredients proven in clinical studies to help you lose weight. Plus, we'll help you shape up without even stepping into the gym with a twice-a-week fun and simple 12-minute fitness program. The new you for the new year starts right now. Why would you wait any longer? Did I mention the free chocolate? This is a weight loss system that you'll love, and to prove it, we'll send you our chocolate free. Call in the next 90 minutes, 800-827-FATLOSS. You only have 90 minutes to get your free chocolate, and then it's gone. 800-827-FATLOSS, 800-827-3285.
Ever had your bank issue you a new debit, ATM, or credit card, but you didn't request one? That's probably because someone hacked the bank's computer system, and your bank is trying to stay one step ahead of the identity thieves who snatched your personal information. And that's why you need to call LifeLock now. When you call LifeLock, you can get the most comprehensive identity theft protection available. LifeLock Ultimate. LifeLock Ultimate offers 24/7 protection and is the only identity theft protection service that now monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. So call 1-800-567-9916 now. Mention Enroll 60 and get the first 60 days risk-free. If you're not happy, call LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment and you won't pay a cent. Call 1-800-567-9916. 1-800-567-9916. Check LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary. 1-800-567-9916.
If you're being audited by the IRS or state, you may not know that you have a serious problem. Auditors are more relentless than ever in demanding taxes that you might not owe. You need a tax attorney who's aggressive, accessible, and experienced.
I'm tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. My tax law firm, Moskowitz LLP, has a proven track record in representing people involved in an audit. Our team of tax attorneys and CPAs have been resolving tax problems for over 30 years, and we will vigorously defend you and your business. In an audit, you're going up against an authority that's expertly trained to investigate, collect, and prosecute. Call Moskowitz LLP instead of the government.
Nothing replaces real experience when dealing with the IRS or state. Call Moskowitz LLP, a tax law firm, at 888-TAX-DEAL. That's 888-TAX-DEAL. 888-TAX-DEAL.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, we know how to treat you with bonus play, giveaways, special invitations, and plenty of perks. And now we're giving out something extra to everyone who signs up for Cash Club. All new members will receive $25 on their Cash Club card. It's the free and easy way to find what you'll love about Cache Creek. Are you a foodie? Then use your points in one of our delectable restaurants. In the mood to relax? Use the points at the spa. If a day on the links is your thing, then use them at Yochevihi, Cache Creek's championship golf course. The rooms are fair game, and so is anything in our gift shop. Best of all, you can use that $25 at our mini mart to gas up your car, which means the drive to Cache Creek is on us. Join Cash Club today. It's free and easy to sign up. And right now, we're giving new members a $25 credit. Only at Cash Creek. Play the best. Close to home.
On the next morning show, the real State of the Union, the winner of the Vegas contest and Whistleblower Wednesday. Join me, Brian Sussman, Melanie, and Katie, 5 to 9 a.m.
Stop falling for this knee-jerk neocon anti-Obama rhetoric. There's a limit to it, and it's boring. Why don't you try to open your mind and use common sense? We all have a right of self-defense, right? We have a right of self-defense. If someone is going to go over and train with Al-Qaeda and become one of their operatives, I say launch. The ACLU says, oh, we've launched 300 drones so far. I think that's the number. I don't think I remember. And 3,000 people have been killed. Well, that's interesting. We haven't had a 9/11 since the drones started flying. You ever thought about it? Let's put two and two together. Let's see. Drones started flying. Al-Awlaki was killed. Recently, his son, 16 years old, was sent to Allah, to the virgins. They were waiting for him, too. He disappeared off the planet. He was atomized. The 16-year-old spawn of Al-Awlaki was found in Yemen, and they took him out in the entire village. Terrible thing, really a terrible thing. We should have waited for him to blow up the IRT. And then given him a nice trial in New York where he could have made a mockery of our system. So, you know, which way do you want it? I mean, which way do you want this? I'll take your calls. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't call. What I'm talking about is a shocking, shocking memo that was released to much criticism, by the way, on both sides of the aisle or all sides. Everyone's saying, oh, he's a madman, he's a killer, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, blah, 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 blah. And the thing is that I agree with him. It's that simple. It's not any citizen. It's an American citizen abroad. I'll read you the law again so you don't start going off and foaming at the mouth because you listen to Clarabelle and his clowns. It would be lawful, it says, for the United States to conduct a lethal operation outside the United States, Schmendrick, against a U.S. citizen who was a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda or an associated force of Al-Qaeda without violating the Constitution or the federal statutes discussed in this white paper on the following conditions. And the reason this white paper was released is because the new CIA, the appointee to the man, the nominee to run the CIA, was in charge of the drone project, which is a plus for him. He sounds like a hippie with an earring, but at the end of the day, it's a fake. 855-407-282. It's everything Obama does is some kind of conspiracy. I mean, it's unbelievable. How crazy can you get? This reminds me of the Bush years. It's the same thing. The Nixon years, this has become insane. I agree with Obama and Holder on this one. I read it. I read the whole, not just the, I read the paper. I read the entire 16 pages. It's in front of me.
It's lawful for the United States to conduct a lethal operation outside the United States against a U.S. citizen who is a senior operational leader of al-Qaeda or an associate force of al-Qaeda without violating the Constitution. Period. End of story. This is the same thing that happened in World War II. Many German-American families returned to the fatherland. That was a call of the Nazi. Fought with the Germans against the Americans and the rest of the Allies. And when we caught them, we killed them. We shot them, lined them up against the lamppost and shot them. U.S. citizenship does not grant you blanket immunity. If you join the enemy, you're no longer a U.S. citizen in plain English. And by the way, I mean, I read the, well, this is a whole separate show. I did this over and over again. I read the actual legal brief of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Justice Department when they captured U.S. citizens of German ancestry who tried to conduct espionage or sabotage in America. They tried them and they shot them here. They shot them. Quirin et al. I'm not a legalistic scholar, but I'm a scholar. I recall the case. You can probably Google it. Quirin et al. They hung them, shot them. They didn't care if they're American citizens. Once they went over to the dark side, bingo. Legal target. So must you disagree with everything Obama does? Does that make you smart? Let's take some callers and see what the world of the Savage Nation thinks. I mean, it's pretty late on the East Coast, but people's minds are still working. Ben on WMAL in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ben. This is Benjamin, and I'm a registered Democrat, but I believe, hey, I'm with the man 100%. If you go to the dark side, hey, woe on you.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But I try to use my own thinking, Benjamin. What's wrong with people? Why must they make everything Obama does into a conspiracy?
Savage.